We better hissing in the background here.
We are live.
It says we're live. And yeah, there is hissing. But wait to hear this. If I turn the power on, wait to hear what happens. You hear that buzz?
Oh.
So we're going like battery only here.
Battery only. On the laptop.
On the laptop. Well, I literally was in Trade Market. Oh, by the way, I've got pizza for us. I'll open that in a wee second though. I was in Trade Market and all week I've been researching like live stream gear. I was like, you know what? I want to live stream the podcast. And I had like literally like stuff that was worth like maybe 1500 in the Amazon cart, and I was hemming in his hand. I was like, oh, I don't know what to do, don't know what gear to get. And I was like, mate, please remember how you started this podcast. You literally did it out of the back of your delivery bag.
Delivery bag.
I worked for delivery.
Well, explain the back of the delivery bag.
So all my
record in the delivery bag,
sort of, because I would rock up to guests the first few episodes and I would pull out like this massive Dell laptop, like the sort of laptop you're supposed to have whenever you're 13 playing RuneScape. That sort of laptop. And then we'd have like a Blue Yeti USB record straight into Audacity.
I still use that.
Do you use that? I love that. And then literally just took it from there. So I was like, why am I overcomplicating this live stream stuff? So genuinely, like Morgan caught me. I was like scrambling, like turning the laptop around, like downloading this StreamYard thing, getting a free trial, blah, 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 blah. And so here we are, the first ever
live stream podcast. The stuff.
No, I didn't buy it.
That's probably the better move, to be honest. To be fair, there's a couple of things I regret buying over the weekend there. Halloween costumes. Must have spent like £300 on Halloween costumes.
Genuinely?
Yeah, I actually hate my life. I've never put any effort into Halloween before, and I was like, you know what, I'll do that.
I pulled a muscle over the weekend.
What? I can't hear you in my headphones.
Where are you? Are you number two? Here, this is a very professional podcast.
It is.
Morgan, say something.
Hello.
Morgan.
You hear me?
Try that.
Yeah. You just channeled that peanut butter, baby.
Yeah. I spent the weekend in severe pain.
Why?
No, I pulled a muscle in my core. Like, so.
Oh, pull a muscle in your quad?
In your core. So then I couldn't eat anything. I couldn't breathe and all. And then I went to A&E the next morning and I was actually fine. After a while, I was like sitting there and I was like, fuck, man, this is kind
of... What's your language? Do you know where you are?
Goodness gracious.
This is the house of the Lord.
This is your granny's house.
Yeah.
Well, you already did, so
yeah.
No, it's all good. It's the explicit stream now from this point on.
Okay, happy days.
Not YouTube for kids. We just lost that big fat advertising money.
So tell me about this quad that you allegedly pulled.
The core. I think I've done a wee core workout, and it literally just like, I got up one day, I got out of bed, and I just like died.
You still doing the CrossFit?
I am indeed.
But not there we go.
The cable was loose.
There we go. That's
awesome.
Like,
oh my god.
Happy days. You sound very sexy.
Yeah, that sounds much better.
Way better.
Whoa. I'm too loud head. Though. Too loud and sexy. Let me turn that down a wee bit. Because I was pumping you at like 10. I was like, why can we not hear this dude?
You were pumping him at 10?
Until about 2 o'clock there.
I reckon that this live stream actually will probably be the end of my career. I've just decided. I'm like,
you've got the right people for that.
This is why I never have live streamed before. But here we go.
Right.
We're all good.
Well, let me ask you this, okay?
Mm-hmm.
What do you guys identify as these days?
Ooh, that's a good question.
I don't know. I'm just a guy.
Yeah, I'm just a dude doing things.
Literally.
I've literally been going through this like thing of not really knowing what to identify as. So I just started putting up one of my Instagram stories recently, too complex to categorize. Generally, I don't know what to say. Like, I'm just doing it all now. If anything that happens on your phone, I just do it. Like, so social media.
I'd probably say I'm a business guy just because I've been doing that for the last few months and that's all been in my head. But I've always wanted to do like video.
You're a big business guy.
I know, but I get out into all of this because it was like, right, I want to do really creative. Basically what you do, I was like, I want to do that.
But I want to be Jed when we grow up.
Yeah.
Oh, stop.
But I lived in the countryside, so there's literally nothing to do apart from like sort of videos in your room. And eventually I just started doing videos in my room about business. And then I was like, I have nothing else to make. But then because I did that, I got a bit of momentum. I was like, I'm still doing it. But I don't know. At some point basically the idea is like try and make a bit of money and then I can do whatever I want. But
yeah,
it still takes a bit of like, I don't know. It's a bit of fear there to like pull the trigger and go and do something different.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because I'm used to doing the same thing over and over again. So to go and try and do something really creative and not start at the bottom again, it's going to be really difficult. Like, but
Well, that's the thing about rappers. So like Jay-Z and Eminem and all those guys, they say why like a guy like me couldn't really become a rapper is because those guys started when they were eight.
Yeah.
So all the ugly, painful stage of their career, they did it when they were kids. So yeah. Nobody cares. Like, yeah. You know, you cringe away through your teens and then you emerge, you know, 18, 19, 20, and you're actually a bona fide hip hop artist. Whereas if I started putting stuff out on SoundCloud now, my whole family would disown me.
I know. Yeah.
The whole country would disown me.
You go through the pain in public now, like, whereas it used to be like you just got on like an absolute
behind closed tube doors
as a child. Yeah. Like,
I mean, I still get on like an absolute tube apparently. So
I found an old YouTube video of mine that like from a, I think it's like private or something, but it was just me talking over FIFA videos when I was 12.
I did the same thing, like, Call of Duty.
Really?
Yeah.
I was like, don't ever let these
listen. Brutal. And put on like, because all you listen, like I never left the house, like, so I just have that American accent. Yeah. So I know, just sitting there, hey guys, today I found a hacker in Call of Duty and.
Yeah, I get the exact same. I moved whenever I was at uni. I was still doing these videos. This was like 2 years ago. I just started a couple of months before. And then literally, I came down the room. I had set everything up. And then I came down to the kitchen to get a drink. And then they're like, oh, he's got the hat on. Here comes the American voice. And I was like, oh, fuck.
Oh, you had to alter ego.
And then they would all be like standing outside the door, like next door listening. Oh, I was like, this worst. Is the worst.
That's
but then,
mad.
See, over time, I just give less and less of a shit about the accent. Yeah. I was like, I'm just gonna talk the way I talk.
Yeah, that's kind of what I've been experiencing as well. Like, when I was growing up, it was definitely in my head of like, oh, I need to enunciate words more and all that sort of stuff so people understand me more. But it's at the point I've had to like unlearn that accent because I had to put in, I was like, I felt like there's pressure almost, like,
yeah,
so people can hear you properly.
It's and, like, I because you feel like, oh, if I talk my normal way, people are like, if I talk the way I do talk around, say, friends at home, whenever I go back down to the country, I'm like, people wouldn't have a clue what I'm saying.
Yeah.
But you do kind of, you put on your radio voice. So, you know, like,
especially when doing like presentery sort of content. Yeah,
you have to speak clearly. Like, and people always like take the piss out of me. They'll go to my top videos and it's me being like, hey, this is what you do. And I'm like, I'm not going to sit talking like this.
Exactly.
Man, I was called out the other day. I was doing something for U105. And I had to do like the big hosty presenter voice.
Yeah.
And I'm used to the podcast being like, all right, guys, what's a crack? You know, Matt Thompson here, like da 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 da. And they wanted the, hi, guys, welcome. Yeah. You're listening to U105.
Blind Boy does it really well. It's like,
you're listening to the very first podcast in Ireland.
This is freaking me out. It does sound very radio. I just like the song. Is my cable loose? Because you both sound sexier than me.
I don't know
if that's the American accent.
I think Jed sounds good.
You think so?
Good.
Yeah.
That's so fun. Okay. Maybe I'm just
Away two tickets to Take That.
I'm really going to try to compete with that.
But this is why I would be afraid of becoming a rapper, right? Because if I started rapping, I would sound like Macklemore with an American accent.
There's nothing wrong with that. You get a one-hit wonder and live off it the rest of your life.
Yeah, that could work. But like, I want to sound Northern Irish if I was rapping. Or like if I'm in church or if I'm at a concert and I'm singing.
Yeah.
Do you ever notice that you sing American?
Oh yeah, yeah, 100%.
Yeah, like, it's a skill. It's like, how on earth can you sing in your own accent?
Yeah, I do respect different people here. I don't. The only ones I know that actually do it, like, well, there's plenty of people that probably do it well, but the ones I know are like traditional Irish singers because you hear them singing their own accent. Then I'm like, how the fuck do you do that? You're like, you usually put on an accent.
Yeah. We need a Northern Irish rapper to blow up.
Yeah, you've got your guy. What do you call him?
Jordan.
The
Chunsu.
Yeah, yeah. Who? He's pretty good.
What was that song? Belfast.
Yeah, I was born in Belfast.
Oh, yeah. Geez, hear the shots and you go fast.
Yeah. No. That was a banger. That was a banger.
He had an absolute banger, Fire in the Booth.
Yeah.
You ever watch Fire in the Booth?
I think I saw it.
Had a Fire in the Booth. Oh yes, Charlie Sloth, mate. He absolutely killed it. This must have been 15 years ago.
Seriously. Yeah. There's a guy actually popped up on my For You page earlier. This one, like he's doing like Northern Irish drill. And
oh, who's that?
The song,
you gotta find that and get to me.
I'll literally like,
I can here, Jimmy, can you pull that up?
Yeah,
Jimmy, pull it up for me, please. Literally, I was like, what on earth? This is actually pretty good, but the song name is so funny. Actually, do you want me to try to play it into the mic?
Oh, look, let's go for it. Yeah,
should we just do it? Right, so the song is called. It's called Feelings for a Fenian.
You know what? It's got that kind of big club noise.
It does.
But it sounds like Angus Drill.
It has 200,000 views.
Like, respect to him as an artist, but it doesn't sound Northern Irish.
I know. I thought in my head it sounded more Northern Irish because of
he said the word loyalist.
Yeah.
Yeah, Jordan, pretty much. You're friendly with the guy. Jordan does it as well.
Jordan Castle.
No,
Jordan Castle. Mate, when we were in school, Jordan
what a
Castle.
Throwback.
He was the guy.
That's mental.
How do you know about Jordan? Or do you know about him just online?
Facebook, yeah, like 10 years ago.
Epic.
I don't know.
His song was Lisburn, and it's like, Lisburn, that's where I'm from. See the mother, boop, police, and your mother, boop, run.
Yes, I remember that.
Epic, mate. That's slap. Certified like Lisburn banger.
14, 15. I feel like
Borat right now, because you were talking about this. And I'm like, the bit where he comes up to these people, and he comes up to all these like black guys in America, and he's like, oh, do you know... Hussey, whatever the name is, and he goes, okay, I'll play a song. He's like, bing, bong, bing, bong. Like, that's his experience of music.
We're cultured, you know. Yeah, we're cultured. We're like in deep with that Northern Irish. I should try to look up Sun Tzu. I don't even know if I'm saying
that. That's the guy who wrote the God of War, Art of War or something.
Like that.
I was about to say, I don't know.
It is.
Two completely different people.
Now, do you know Joan Adatunji?
Yeah, that's the one.
Yeah. Do you know him?
Dreads?
Yeah, I think.
I saw him on a BBC thing.
Yeah, he's signed to like, I think, Sony now.
Epic.
And he's going through like a massive rebrand at the minute. Like, I think they're really, like, the label's actually going to be pushing him. So,
man,
and
his songs are good. He could be our guy.
Yeah, I think he will be our guy.
What's his accent like?
Not very Northern Irish, unfortunately.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Will we still, we'll still back him.
Juice WRLD.
Yeah, more like that sort of vibe.
Have you ever seen the 2-hour video of Juice WRLD freestyling over the top of
Ventilator? Yeah, that is the most mental thing ever.
Yeah, that's crazy. Yeah.
It just doesn't stop.
It's phenomenal. But that's what I mean. Like, Juice WRLD obviously like has some sort of talent or is on the spectrum or something.
Yeah.
But then he's been freestyling over like Eminem instrumentals since he's probably like 4.
Yeah, exactly.
Like if I started doing it on the live stream now,
I think you've got like your vocabulary is, you know, expansive enough, like, so,
you know, like, maybe it'll be one of those things I pick up when I'm like 50. It's like, who says rappers can't start their career when they're retired?
Here, hopefully there'll be like another TikTok sort of app by the time that comes around, and you'll be going viral for
the gray hair will raps. Be an asset. It'll be like, what the heck is this, like, Northern Irish grander rapping?
Northern Irish silver fox over there.
I mean, you gotta bring the old man wisdom too.
Oh, of course. There's a guy I knew so whenever I started making videos on TikTok, it was all about like money and stuff, and everybody was like basically looked like me, sounded like me, and then there's one guy, Mark Tellerbury, came out. He was like this like 50, 60 year old.
I've seen him on YouTube
banging out like 10 million of videos of you or views of video.
Incredible.
It's like just the mad difference. Like, see, if you're just old, you just win on. Yeah.
Well, it's standing out, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. He obviously had good content as well, but like it's, yeah, it was interesting. Like,
you fuming?
Takes so little.
Yeah. He's fuming.
He's fuming.
He's not 50 years old.
Dye your hair get prosthetics on to be old just to leverage yourself.
Yeah, you probably could. You could literally change your entire appearance.
It's actually crazy though with social media and the way like with apps you genuinely could do that. Like just change, just change your face to the old man face and just actually like lower your tone in the editing app. With
that would be, you know, the way there's all these like Twitter bots that aren't really real or these parody accounts. Yeah. It would be really interesting to blow up on TikTok as a fake person.
Do you have any impressions of an old man if you were to do it today? Like, how would you do it today?
Jesus.
I'd probably go like full Northern Irish old man because it's weird enough, because it needs to be weird to stand out, doesn't it? It is interesting. The internet is kind of like, and the attention economy, it rewards weird people.
Mm. Yeah, it really does. Sometimes I'm like, I know I'm weird in certain ways. I'm like, that is my benefit. I like that. It's like,
it makes you interesting. It does make you stand out. Whenever I think old man voice, I just think my granda who's just angry at life.
Yeah,
you know what I mean, like, oh, fuck's sake, looking
channel
his hair and all that, they're going sick.
Bitterness, I literally get that too.
There's not sick of these kids, like
Shane Todd in a video like there, like 10 years ago or something. And you had your guy Thomas the Tanker who's in it, and he's literally this, like, bitter.
I remember that too, man.
Bitter. Do you remember it?
Yeah, man.
Oh my god, he's like, the two men came in here and they stood me up against that wall over there, my own wall. Just like absolutely perfect.
That's it.
He practices this every night.
That's the voice. You just got it. You got a channel, Thomas Tanker Smythe vibes, into your TikTok.
Put a filter on.
Put a filter on, and away you go. There you go.
I would literally be
6 million a video. Easy.
Yes, too many young people these days.
What was your first?
That's not the first time I've heard you use that voice. Now that I think about it,
I do very.
That's kind of your go-to voice.
I do a million impressions of
a million impressions.
Anything.
Someone had a wee da 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 da.
Whoops, probably me.
It's probably all of us because this is such an amateur live stream.
We're having fun with it. It's the youth.
When did what's the first YouTube video you put up?
It's probably, well, if you're talking really first, there's those videos of me playing like FIFA. And I like upped all the stats of my players and then scored all these goals. And like, look, I scored all these amazing goals and deceived the audience.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's social media 101.
Probably the
Call of Duty montages.
Call of Montage.
Yeah.
I think my first one was a RuneScape music video.
RuneScape
where in RuneScape, video. If you type so the chat, if you type the chat, hit enter, the text appears above your head.
Oh,
so it was literally like a crossover between, you know, those Window Movie Maker lyric videos.
Yeah,
it was like that combined with RuneScape.
Yeah, that was the dream.
See, and it's always, what was it? Unregistered Hypercam. Yeah. Like.
Oh, BondiCams.com.
And then, what was your second kind of iteration of YouTube? I went to COD after that. I was COD montaging.
COD 4 and GTA 5. Funny Moments.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. But then I put some illicit hashtags in to try and
game the system.
Game the system. And then eventually they all got deleted.
You probably could. Like, it was the Wild West back then. Yeah. You could like put up fake like thumbnails videos, and like fake titles. Had, like, and
11,000-12,000 views. Like,
there's close family friend of mine, and he put up a video on YouTube. Jamie, you can pull it up, and it's called I can't wait to have a producer.
Is there actually
it's called
pull it up.
Rabbit Eats Snake, right?
Yeah.
And the thumbnail's like outrageous, the title's outrageous, and you click it and it's his pet rabbit eating a carrot, and genuinely it has like 500,000 views.
No. Wait, who is this?
Just a random just family a friend.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And yeah, I feel like that's the sort of stuff you could get away with. Or like people would upload like, I don't know, like Soprano clips and just like print money.
I remember I uploaded like literally in like 2014. I watched The Wolf of Wall Street, and then I found the real Jordan.
Changed his life forever.
I found your guy. He'd like load of sales videos or something. And I downloaded them, and then I was like, I'm gonna put these on my YouTube account so they're saved online and they don't take up space on my thing. I came back like 5 years later. It was like fucking 700,000 views on them. I was like, what? And then I deleted them out of fear that I was gonna get like. The channel's gonna get deleted.
I can't remember the year, but there was like a big clampdown where like Warner Brothers got involved, took and everything. it was messy. Like,
what was it called? The Apocalypse.
Oh yeah. Man, good times.
Literally, they must have just taken like the amount of money.
Good times.
The dream. What a time to be alive.
Actually,
no,
go ahead.
No, I was literally thinking like my second iteration was probably, so I was doing these like YouTube videos with FIFA and stuff when I was like 12, and then I got. Not bullied so hard, but I get literally put off it so much, being like, why are you making videos and all that? It took me probably
by people in real life or people online.
Yeah, people in school.
Yeah,
like, what are you doing that shit for? And then like 8 years later, I finally summoned up the courage again. All right, guys, and I'm gonna talk about marketing.
Before I start today, I want to say one thing. Screw the haters.
It is kind of mad even that you mentioned that, because like I forgot about like that period of school whenever we like you obviously doing the exact same thing, like creating content on YouTube, and then you're kind of like, oh, everyone's like, you know, giving you shit for it, and then you fall out of it, but then we're back at it again.
I just think
it was already
you're so like naturally that's what you want to do, you're just gonna do it. It literally doesn't matter what age
swing back around to it.
Yeah, you could be 40 and you could finally get the courage, but I don't know. I literally, for me, it was like whenever I properly started again YouTube, it was like I took ages to build up the courage to do it again, and then eventually done it. And then when I did TikTok, that was like literally when one of the videos, oh my God, it was the most stressful night of my life, because I was like, I didn't realize that TikTok promotes your videos by region. So it literally pushed it to every single human I knew in the world. And like everybody's texting me like, oh, is this you? Why are you making, like, what is this? And then I goes,
no, it's not me.
I'll take the video. And then somebody else told me, like, wise up, keep them up. And then after that, you sort of like, after you get through that initial pain barrier, you'll be fine.
So TikTok pushes the first kind of people that see it, that the algorithm serves it to, is geo-specific.
Usually, yeah.
Is there any way to cheat that?
VPNs.
Is that the only way?
Yeah.
So VPN from like when you upload it?
Yeah. Because I've noticed, like, even when I'm in different countries and stuff, say, for example, when I was in Croatia, I uploaded a video and didn't do anywhere near as well as it normally does, because it's not reaching that Northern Irish ad.
Like, interesting.
So
here's what I want to see. I want to see you dress up as an old man, put a face filter on, put a different voice on, and then VPN yourself and blow up.
And VPN
like,
myself everywhere. Kalabaki?
No.
Kalabaki.
Like Reykjavik, Iceland.
Yeah.
I want you to be the number one TikToker in Iceland.
Some guy that literally went viral.
Yeah, that's a good YouTube video. If you documented that whole process, that's
I think
a
bad so. We're talking about a guy that actually, he made his filter, he got a filter that turned him to look like a woman, and then he made himself like a motorcyclist and literally went mega viral, and then people called him out, and then eventually he was like, you know what, I just like motorcycles, and nobody cared about me until I was a woman. So I was like,
that's hilarious.
And, and then people continued to follow.
Yeah, and then he actually done well, so you're like, pretty good.
Maybe I need to do that then with content.
Get the pizza out here.
I feel like if I was creating the content that I do now, but I was a woman, it would not be as controversial.
Yeah, exactly.
I would just get a load of comments from girls saying, oh my god, yes,
Slayer. So supportive.
Yeah.
Okay, do you think you would be more popular if you were a woman online?
Oh yes.
Interesting.
100%. I mean, a female version of myself, absolutely.
If you had the same drive and everything like that, and you were a woman, you probably, you probably would.
Yeah,
if you're attractive.
If you're an attractive woman, you better leg up.
Literally, it's like, it's mad TikTok and all that literally analyzes your face to see how attractive you are.
Yeah.
And then promotes you more if you're, there's a bit of truth to it, like, for sure.
Did you ever see there's a Prime documentary called TikTok Boom. I'm like a boomer in this relationship because I'm not on TikTok.
I was watching this thing on Amazon Prime the other day. Thing, right? Someone got it to me on WhatsApp.
Whoa, that really tripped me out. There's a guy on a Zoom call to our left through the window, and there's a woman that was looking at me, but she was on the screen, and it really freaked me out.
That's John. John's a legend. John has an awesome business called Geolytical. Shout out to John. He's like a geography genius. And he literally flies drones all over Ireland and literally digitally maps the landscape.
What?
But on his, because that's his dedicated desk, so he sits there all the time. And in his background webcam, there's the Best Belfast logo. And he says, mate, I've given you more free promo than anybody in the world, because they're always like, what does that say in the background? And he gives the spiel every time. I'm like, dude, pay the man.
Liam Neeson is about to get another role here.
Really come far from the days of going on a wee boat down the corners of the countries and trying to map out. He has this drone that just flies up and digitizes the
landscape. Incredible. It's incredible.
I know.
But
God bless technology.
Pizza, work away.
We're talking about TikTok there, the boom or
something. So this there's so many cables everywhere. The reason why I'm eating this pizza now is because, like I said, standing in Trade Market, I was like, let's live stream this video. So done is better than perfect.
Would you do a live podcast outside?
With
an audience?
I've done it before, yeah.
You have?
Yeah.
How'd you find it?
Really enjoyed it. I would love, actually, if I could get someone to handle the event management.
Massive slices.
Mm. Yeah, great slices. Shout out to Pie Guys, legend.
No, it's just spelled a good bit on my
not the marinara.
This is going to get bad.
Quickly.
I'm going to pretend like I'm eating for the podcast.
For posterity.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
any chance I could grab that tissue over there?
Oh, yeah, of course. it's a big reach.
Here we go.
Oh, this is hilarious.
Oh, yeah, come on, man. Best of all, fast podcast.
This is like the OG days of Joe Rogan. You know, they're all just... those basic life.
Well, I feel like it's like part of the origin story is you have to make your first thing almost intentionally bad.
Literally,
it has to be a wee bit scrappy.
I used to love whenever I started YouTube, I thought I was going to be an expert because I did media studies, and then I look back at the first
media
video
studies.
And the focus is on the back of the laptop, and it's over there, and I'm just sitting there blurred out being like, hey guys, and there's no audio is brittle.
But that's some thick cheese.
The TikTok thing, right, my boomer mind. They literally pulled up TikTok's terms of service whenever it started. So someone had leaked it, and it literally said, we do not show people that are ugly or people who have disfigurement or people who are disabled. And their excuse was because we don't want people to be hated online. But most people were like, here, no, you just wanted the first time people to go on the apps, everyone to be beautiful and shiny and attractive. And you could be that person. You should stay on this app.
That's a good sign for us then. Clearly hit the fucking 450k. that's about a 10.
If you were to add up all of your views over the lifetime from FIFA days to present, ballpark it to the
FIFA
nearest.
FIFA days is probably 300, and then the rest of it, I don't know, 100 and something 50 million.
Oh my goodness.
Which is weird, because I look at my YouTube and it's people are watching this right. People watch me as I sleep, as I'm eating, as I look. It's so, even TikTok, anything, you look, there's always somebody watching your face, which is so weird. But that was really trippy at the start. So even
lockdown as well.
Yeah, exactly. It was literally that's the only reason I was doing it, because I was nobody's going to see me in person to say to me that I'm doing TikTok. So I can do it now while I'm build the confidence up while I'm in isolation here. And then,
I regret not going more the business route with it.
Nah, but it's.
Meaning what, Jed?
Because I was just kind of finding my foot with TikTok, because it's coming up to 3 years now whenever I actually jumped on the app. And then when I initially blew up, it was just off of creative content. But I didn't feel like I was in a position to give proper advice or sell a product or whatever. But I feel like because during lockdown, videos were just constantly going viral. And it was so easy just to take advantage of that. But I was in my head, I was I don't really care about the views, because it's after a couple of months, you realize it doesn't really lead to anything unless you have an offering. So what's the purpose?
Literally, I think of it now. I want to have one type of content that basically runs my business and I'm bringing sales and money. and then just do other stuff. Like Matthew's talked about it a couple of times about literally just doing stuff because you enjoy it. Like there is videos I'll put out sometimes on YouTube or something. I'm just like, I do not care how many views this gets. I just want to put it up and get it like created and made out. So yeah, 100%.
See, that's kind of what I'm doing now. But like,
it's easy for you to say. Like we both say the grass is greener on the other side for what each other's doing. So it's like I would like to do your creative stuff and you'd like to do my business stuff.
It's actually insane.
That's interesting. What, like view count, Jed? Ballpark, rough.
I don't. Nowhere near as impressive as that. Like 30 million.
Yeah.
I mean, I love that. Pretty good. Oh, it's really crap. They're like, hardly anyone watched it. 30 million?
30 million.
15 times the population of Northern Ireland.
I know.
Something like that, anyway.
I remember one day my man died. I was sitting watching the Nolan show, and it literally got like 5 million views that day, and they were like, I just said that, and I'm like, 5 million? And then they just went back to watching Stephen.
Oh, you know what that reminds me of? It's like, because people were like, I feel like the internet's definitely the place to be, like in comparison, like TV shows and stuff.
Yeah.
But like people still kind of strive for that, like sort of like, oh, I'm on TV. But it's like the reach you can get while like on TikTok, for example, like is so much bigger than a TV show. And there's no guarantee people are actually going to sit and watch it.
It's really interesting. So like my view count is like minuscule. I think it's podcasts. I think if you look at downloads, that's the metric they use. It's 500,000.
Which is great for a podcast.
Which is great for a podcast. But it's like, it's on a totally different scale. You know what you guys are doing, which I think is really interesting.
Yeah.
But I also think it's interesting how you can have people who maybe have like a billion views on TikTok and they maybe haven't made a penny from it.
Yeah,
exactly.
I literally never, like I never, ever, ever think about TikTok or the views or anything. I'll think more about YouTube because it'll be like driving a bit of money and stuff. And I don't know. Like I don't really think about once you get used to the numbers, you're like, I don't really care anymore. It's more
once
about,
you get your first 100 million, what's another 100 million?
But I don't know. I care more now about like meeting cool people, doing things like that. Like people are way more valuable than whatever amount of views or money.
People are way more valuable.
You can sell them and eat their skin.
What is the what's the purpose of TikTok? As in like, it's a tool in your digital tool belt. How do you guys currently use it?
Well, I think for me, it's like, it's a really great outreach platform. So it's all about just like brand awareness, getting as many eyeballs onto your brand as possible and hopefully getting them off the platform into a more nurturing platform, like Instagram, for example. That's kind of how you do your, that's literally your business.
I don't really, I actually haven't used Instagram or TikTok in ages. All of my most recent ones are just ads because they're just, I would have a company's
the content you're producing.
Yeah. Because TikTok, I just sort of got bored of the short form thing because it's like, I don't know, I just was like, I've done it for so long and then you can burn it. I think I sickened myself from it because I was doing them every day and loving it. And then I started batching them like once a week because it was like, oh, this will let me streamline it all. And then I realized I just completely stopped doing it after that because I just wasn't interested. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. I think I probably will get back into it. But for me, YouTube's just a bit longer form and you can put a bit more effort in and you can...
It's like you were saying as well, like there's more longevity to it as well because people are always going to be searching for
stuff there from 2 or 3 years ago people are still watching, whereas TikTok wouldn't be the same.
Is that like, do you find that on your channel, like what's the evergreenness of TikTok?
I mean, it's just there's a lifespan of a couple of weeks. It's just like it depends
on
what
is that it
literally made a couple of days. Wow. I would say
And then sometimes you'll have like delayed explosions like on the odd video where it's like a video you can post can do like say like 20,000 views in like the first like 2 days, but then nothing happens, and then like a month later that random video from a month ago will just like get an extra 100,000 views, like because TikTok does that sometimes where they test old content that they think works. So that's about it. Like there's because I remember you saying to me actually that's why you started doing the YouTube stuff more often, because there is more longevity to it. People are going to be searching for that and you will be, you know, ranking high on that.
I would watch TikTok all the time, but I just don't produce anymore from it. Just producing YouTube because I like the thumbnail. I think I've just grown up on YouTube more, you know, and like it's got a bit more of that, like
you want to be a YouTuber.
You
don't want to be a TikToker.
You've done it for so long. It feels like more of a challenge obviously now because I'm like, I've done it. Like I think because I got that many views and that many times, it sounds like braggy, but I'm literally just like, that was too easy. That was actually too easy because realistically, if I tried to do the same on YouTube, there's no way I could get like 100 million views. Like,
it's such a tough grind.
I'm never got a million views. Yeah. You know what I mean? It's so much harder, which is probably like where I'm finding the challenge more. I'm like, enjoy the, you know, because you want a challenge.
So if you were to treat like views on different platforms as currency, right?
Yeah.
Like, what would you be willing to trade 1 million views on TikTok for YouTube views if you could convert it?
I'd say 20,000 maybe.
You would take 20,000 YouTube views for 1 million
good
TikToks?
Quality views. You know, like, I just, you care about the quality, because for me, it's my idea. The YouTube idea at the minute is so I can obviously sell products, and I'm like, you know, like, you need good people. There's no point wasting time. Like, something I always do is just disqualify people straight away from a video and be like, this is exactly what's going to happen. This is exactly who it's for. If this is not for you, just don't watch it. Because it's literally, if the people who shouldn't be watching your videos are watching your videos, it's just going to mess YouTube's brain up and be like, they have no idea who to push the video to.
So, well, that's the Mr. Beast thing, isn't it? Like, always deliver on your promise.
Exactly. Over deliver. Like,
The thumbnail and the title are a promise, and then people click on and they know directly if there's a rabbit actually eating a snake.
Yeah, no, I literally have been watching him all week, and I'm like, he's just so interesting. He just understands YouTube.
I've been doing a lot of like podcasts recently as well, interviews.
It's great. Like, it's literally just inside. He's literally like so clear about it too. It's like, get people clicking your video, get them to watch it, do it over and over again, and you'll like people get.
So I think we had different approaches to like social media. Like, you obviously had a product to sell from the jump, basically. So you were obviously making content.
I wouldn't even say that. I would say,
well, not from the jump. Like, obviously,
probably with 6 months in. Yeah,
you had an idea of what your niche was.
I was just probably trying to be like a finance person. Like, I saw loads of people doing it and they made money, and I was doing the side of my business. So I was like, I just need to make money, to be honest. Like, that was literally my main driver. And then once you look at it like that, it's easy because you're looking at it from a business perspective, whereas everyone else is being creative. And you might make the best creative thing ever, but if I look at something and I've analyzed how it's going to do well, I mean, like, your video could be 10 times better. Most of your videos will be 10 times better than mine. Mine just fits the algorithm. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It literally is.
That's definitely what I learned. Like, because I obviously, coming back from the background of a creator, like, I like make good and creating great creatives.
Yeah.
But obviously with TikTok and stuff like that, it definitely values more the
simpler stuff. Your videos, you have posted videos this week and they've got like a couple of 100,000, whereas you've definitely spent hours and hours on a video and it got like 5,000 views.
Yeah, exactly.
Depressing thing ever, but that's what I mean. Like, I either look at it like, I'm doing this to get views, or I'm doing this because I like it.
Yeah.
And I don't mix the two, because then you're just going to...
That's actually what I've now separated. So it's like, I'm going to make that new TikTok account, which is purely just to plug the academy. So that'll be like the 916 Jed thing, where it's just value. Yeah. But then I have like Jed.jpg, because I had Visual Jed. Obviously, that was my main account, where like that initially blew up 80,000 followers, something like that. But it was all like just creative, content stuff. And looking back, I should have just went on with educating, making content. But whenever I was back then, 2 years ago,
are you gonna use that account anymore?
No.
Why?
It's, I don't know, it's dead. I haven't posted it in months.
A new account's just gonna be the exact same, I think.
I don't know. I think I'd be more niche then.
I think it just gives you a wee bit of credibility. This is a business.
I know, that's all. I know.
Why would you not rebrand Visual Jed if you're gonna kind of essentially throw it away, or do you want it there for like archival purposes?
Because people have offered to buy the account for like $2,000. Like, do you know what I mean? But I'm like, I just like, it's a moment of my life. It's not worth money. You know what I mean? It's just,
that was exactly me with the best Belfast Instagram.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. So like back in the day, and
this is ancient history to you young whippersnappers.
Aye, but you were ahead of the game though.
Yeah. But I kind of got caught up in what you were saying about TikTok. I was like, actually, I don't care about this reach.
Yeah.
I want to do something that's a bit deeper.
Yeah.
Which is, I went on a big deep knot wide journey.
And, yeah. No, I literally,
deleted social media. Cause my kind of theory was like, what do we have? We had like 20,000 on Instagram 5 years ago, which in today's money is a big following.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And like, we were going to all the influencer events and like we were doing the Instagram stories and like going to all the free stuff and getting the boxes and like all this.
Yeah.
And I was kind of like, this is just not, it's not for me. It doesn't fulfill me personally.
Yeah.
And that's no shade on anybody. But I was like, I would rather take the shade, man. I'm ready.
No, but
we would put up like an amazing sunset photograph of City Hall that a local photographer gave, and you know, we reshared the photo, and it would get, I don't know what it would get. Would it get maybe 20,000 impressions and 1,000 likes and whatever? Yeah. I was like, mate, I would much rather 100 people listen to my podcast.
Yeah.
Like, I would rather 100 people on their way to work listen to something that made their life
better.
That's
what I felt the same with Visual Jed, because it was just like, great. Like, there's videos I know the formula in my head. I was like, I know I could literally just blow up if I keep doing what I was doing, but it's like, great, I'm getting views, but for what purpose? Like, I don't feel like I'm actually serving anything.
Interesting.
It's just you're building attention for no reason.
I totally agree. Like, literally, whenever you were talking about the deep, not wide stuff, I literally was like, I realized, so whenever I moved to Belfast this year, I moved up, lived by myself, because it was just like, I need a bit of space to film and do all this stuff. And then I realized, like, I'd be sitting, say I come home from work and I have nothing to do. All my mates are working or they're busy. I'm like, I'm sitting on Instagram or I'm sitting on TikTok and I'm scrolling, and it's just a really cheap substitute for actual connection with a person.
Yeah. Mm.
So now I'm like, if I'm going to do any social media stuff, it's to bring in money and bring in stuff that'll help me build other things. But all I care about is meeting interesting people. Like, that is literally paramount.
Well, I like what you said earlier. I'm reducing this down, but you essentially said there's two types of content I want to make. Yeah. One that makes money.
Yeah.
And one that is like valuable and does something for people or for me. Yeah. That's a nice way to think about it, because sometimes you can't do both. Yeah. And like, you know, even in my business, like Best Belfast is the thing that I enjoy the most.
Yeah.
It is my baby. I've grown it for 5 years. It's been slow growth. I've met amazing people. It genuinely is like the proudest professional achievement of my life.
Yeah.
It probably makes up about 20% of my revenue.
Yeah.
You know, there's other things that I have to go out there and do to make money.
Yeah.
But, and that's just reality.
It's literally just something you enjoy doing.
Yeah.
Like, trying to think about what I'm like trying to go all in YouTube at the moment. I'm focusing on business at the moment because I'm like, I know I'm in a good sort of work season at the moment. I just want to enjoy myself in a while. But I don't know. Sometimes I just go through wee phases where I have to work like mad, and then I'll just take it easy for 6 months or a year.
No, I think I've kind of hit the balance now where it's like, I know what I'm doing. Like, in the sense of, I have like, say, Visual Jet, which will be like probably rebranded to like 916 Jet or something like that, just so it's more aligned with what I'm creating. But now, like, for the longest time, obviously I'm a creator, I just like making cool shit. Cool shit.
I get it.
So obviously I made that second account, which honestly was more from also a business perspective of like, my Visual Jet account, like, I was getting a lot of brand offers from Northern Irish businesses. I felt bad taking them because half my audience was American. So it's like, I'll just make another TikTok account now that has like 29,000, which is like way more hyper niche in the Northern Ireland. So 50,000 views in a video is actually going to like generate something for them.
I like that. Like, I genuinely like respect the integrity there.
Mm.
Genuinely, because I think some other people would actually just take that deal.
Yeah.
Be like, look, I got you 200,000 views in Hawaii.
Yeah, exactly.
And your local pizza place.
Yeah, whatever it is. You know what I mean?
Actually, see, when a company comes to me, any video they put on my page will die, and I'll tell them before that. I'm like, dude, that's getting 2,000 views, so only pay me if you're going to use this in your advertising campaign. Ads. So they just use it themselves, but I'm like, this here is just a wee bonus. It doesn't really mean anything.
Right. Yeah. So you're actually really selling the creative.
Yeah, literally.
You're selling an asset that they could run an ad on, like, or whatever.
The most recent one was Burger King, and they just literally asked me to make a video about their new app.
Flex Burger King?
Oh, Burger King.
That's epic.
I was like, just use this in an ad campaign. It'll do a lot better than, like, because nobody wants to sit down and just watch a boring ad. Like, the way they make you make it, if you made it in your own creative way,
they make
you make it in the most, like, hey guys, did you know that Burger King? Yeah. Two tickets to take that.
Mr. Beast had a great thing. I think he was on Rogan talking about it, and he was like, you know what? Brands just don't get it. Like, content creators, if that's what we can call you guys, YouTubers, TikTokers, whatever, like, they have been working for years and years and years, 60-hour plus weeks, making content for their audience. They know what works. And then a brand comes along and be like, whoa, let me tell you what's really going to work with your audience.
Karen says.
And he gave the example of Coke. He's like, if Coke approaches me, he's like, I'm going to be like, give me the money and let me do what I want. And I'm going to do, like, I don't know what the example was, but it was like, you know, can you fill like a swimming pool with 10,000 cans of Coke or something.
Yeah.
And Coke's just getting mad product placement, mad views, instead of like something weird. Oh, do you know what's great on a hot day? A nice, refreshing Coca-Cola.
Yeah, literally. No,
sell them without selling.
There's one thing I was thinking about there.
Don't sell. There you go.
Show, don't sell.
I'm actually proud of that. So I come from like a creative writing background. And they always say show, don't tell. With writing, but show, don't sell. There you go. Bring that to the TikTok age.
Yeah.
There you go, kids. You can have that one.
Stick that up on the board here. Show, don't
sell. Free value, guys.
Jimmy, put that on the wall behind us.
No, literally, what I was going to say there is, like, before you really interrupt me. I realized the other day, I was like, right, see creatively, all I want to do is just create a couple of wee moments of magic in life, you know, like where you're making something. Do you ever get sitting down and you're just making something? You're
very beautiful.
This is literally magic.
Yeah.
Like, this is, like, you're like, I'm never going to experience this moment again. Or like, I'm going to experience this every 6 months or something like that.
So, what is that for you? Is that like a flow state? Is that a feeling in the moment that you're making something?
It's a really flow state, but then it's whenever you're like, you're making something you know will last or it would be really good. I don't know. It's hard
for me, you know, video, like one of those videos was for me, that ghost photo shoot.
Yeah.
Because it did like 1.2 million views, but it was Belfast. And it's like, putting Belfast in the map. And I was saying like 2 years ago, like, oh, I want to bring LA energy to Belfast, like without the ego stuff, but like just the fun doing random stuff and stuff you wouldn't see here.
Yeah.
And it's definitely progressed now. Like,
it literally just gives you a wee, if anything, it gives somebody else a wee bit of confidence being like,
yeah,
oh, somebody,
they're doing it.
Like
I got so many people tagging me after that, like doing the whole thing, being like, oh, Visual Jet inspired me to do this. So it's like people are like then doing the ghost photo shoots here.
Yeah, like a load of people that'll even buy, I only have one program at the minute, and a load of the people will buy just, they're like an 18-year-old from around here because they see me doing it. Whereas if it's an American guy selling them the same thing, they're like, I don't trust him.
Yeah.
Because I trust someone from here because they understand like who I am and like what they do and all that.
It's also high pressure for you though because you can't scam them.
No, I know.
But you know what I mean? Like if you're selling to people in Indiana, you know, but if you're selling to like local people, you're going to see them.
You could worry. You're like, I don't want this guy's dog coming up to my door.
But it's like, it's like living in a village the way we always did. It's like the blacksmith can't screw somebody over.
Yeah,
you know, exactly. if the horse hoof falls off the horse, they're coming back to the blacksmith and be like, did you what?
Yeah, no, 100%. I my main focus now, all I really post on Instagram anymore is just our client results. This is not a sales pitch. Literally all I just post is like,
mid show, don't sell. You're showing. Go ahead.
Client wins. Show
as much as you want.
Anything that, like, I just want to post client wins because I just want that to be the principle. Like, right, okay, if we're not getting enough stories putting out this week, why is that? We're not getting enough wins. Right, what are we doing wrong then? That's all I care about.
Is that your metric? Okay, no, here's a good question because I know the answer to mine. What's the most important metric in your business? As in like in your enterprise, like everything that you guys do, what's the metric that's most important to you?
Literally client wins.
Client wins.
All I care about.
See, my hand's dipped in too many pies at the minute.
It's all good.
So I don't know.
You're an entrepreneur, bro.
Like to look at it from the outside, I'd say like, creating a class video for a class brand.
Yeah, for me, yeah, I think that's probably what it is. Like whenever I go out with like Red Bull and stuff, I'm like just knowing I'm going to create a really cool video that I feel proud of, that I know people are going to engage with. Like I think that's probably for me, like it wouldn't be the money, like money or any other sort of stuff. It's just more like feeling fulfillment and knowing that I created something really good and knowing that I didn't half ass something and actually putting the effort in. And
yeah, that's something as well. See when you spend a load of time on something and you're like, you actually put it out because it's easy. The amount of stuff I'll put out, it doesn't really take me that long. Yeah. See, when you spend like more than a couple of days on something, it's like I spent like a month on a YouTube video one time there and it got like 2,000 views, but I was like, I am so proud of this.
This
is so cool. You know what I mean?
Well, when you were talking about the ghost video, I was thinking like, that's like a portfolio piece.
Yeah.
You know, that's something that in 10 years time, you'll kind of pull out, be like, ah, this is what I did when I was this age. And you know, it's quality. It's
been so weird, like transitioning as well, because it's that thing of like I said, too complex to categorize. And it's like you have it in my head. Obviously, you've known me since I was outside in and stuff. And I was like in my head, I'm like, oh, I'm a creative lead, like I'm a photographer, professional videographer, author, sort of stuff. Like I can't be like an internet like personality. And I feel like, but then I was like over the last couple months, I was like, do you know what? Like I have a God-given gift of like the ability to be like, and it's been given to me through the trials and tribulations I've been through in terms of like building confidence and like building my self-worth and like knowing where I position myself, but like being able to go out there and do the stuff that I do in public with people that I haven't met before and like the situations I place myself in and constantly pushing myself out there, I'm like, it would be silly of me to neglect that, especially in a place like Northern Ireland where it doesn't happen here.
Yeah,
so that's kind of like even now, like with the social media stuff.
Do you ever feel a video and you feel fear before you upload it? Like you're like, this is gonna probably
annoy
me. Like I feel that. I'll get videos.
I did a like I'm gonna post today like just to get ready with me because it was like I did this here like just cool transitions of me sticking clothes on because I went down to Dublin yesterday. I was doing a talk there at Ecom Live and literally about TikTok and some of the things you were talking about there, which was really weird. But yeah, I'm gonna post this later, and I know it's like hater. Haters gonna love this. Like, but I'm like, I do not care. Like, in my head, I'm like, for the longest time, I was my biggest critic. I hated the stuff that I was producing. I hated my body, how I looked. So why would I give a shit about other people and their opinions? Whenever I know of myself, I'm proud of myself for being in the position I'm at. Like, and I have nothing to lose by doing that.
I see so many comments. I could not give less of a shit because I'm like. You know, like, say if you get I don't know, I feel like I've worked in the last year or two and getting a really good balance where I feel like this is my job and I'm comfortable with that, but I still really enjoy it. But it's not like completely all consuming where I'm like,
it's not who you actually are.
Mm-hmm. That's what I mean. I've tried to do other things, which for that, like 2 years before that, when I was just doing it, you know, you do, you'll feel that from the comments, because you, if you've nothing else going on, whereas now I'm like, if you're going out for meals all the time, you're going out to meet people, you don't really, that's only a part of your life. Like, you can absolutely literally pick up your phone, you're like, oh, they hate comment, who cares? Yeah. Back to dinner with my friends.
Yeah. And that's the thing. See, if you
cry out of the penthouse.
If you're creating stuff and it's just you in your room and you've nobody else.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
that's the only input you're getting.
I get that. Tough. I love that.
You're going to feel a real, real bad kind of way.
Yeah.
And I've actually, like, I've kind of got a couple of alarm bells in my life. Because I think, you know, in your car, whenever you're driving down the road, and like there's flat tire, low tire pressure, there's a wee light comes on and it tells you.
Yeah.
We don't really have that for our bodies or our mental health. So there's been a couple of things that I've like tried to identify as, these are the alarms. And if I'm feeling a certain kind of way, one of the things that I know for sure that I'm doing is I'm not working hard enough in my life outside of work.
Yeah.
Because when you were talking there, I'm thinking like, mate, I don't care if I get a weird comment or an angry email, because I go home to an incredible wife, to a beautiful daughter, and an amazing group of friends who love me and support me for who I am. That stuff just bounces off.
Yeah.
But if you don't have that, or you're not plugging into that, it's a totally different story, I think.
I'll tell you something, this is mad. So I get a message from someone who I used to be friendly with, and we fell out. We didn't really fall out, I just stopped talking because whatever happened, that person basically fell out with everyone in our house at uni. And I get this message 12 in the morning the other night, and it was one night I was really stressed about work all day, and I'm about to go to bed, and I get this message like, why are you looking at my Instagram stories? You deleted me on everything, and now you're a nosy, you're a fat paranoid wreck, right? This message, I'm like, I'm sitting there like, what, like how could this day get any worse? And then I get this, right? And then
we have this individual as a special guest.
Yeah.
Jimmy, can you put him on the screen?
Julian Simmons, everyone.
Julian Simmons. Imagine Julian Simmons is giving you hit. Keep going.
I looked at it, and then I was like, the first 20 minutes stung. I was like, who is this? Like, and then I found out who it was. And then I actually just felt compassion. I was like, all right, I don't care. I was like, I know why that person is annoyed.
Yeah.
It's because stressed with their own shit
factors,
but that's the Gary V thing, and I do think, like, say what you want about Gary's got great wisdom in the space. He is an old man. He's like the Gandalf in the content creation world. Do you know what I mean? And I love his take on haters. It's like, what type of situation does someone have to be in to give you that level of hate online? And I actually love how you respond to haters on your TikTok. Like, I dipped in for today, and it's just because I want to get a vibe what you were doing. And like, you get the usual like Northern Irish people who just, they don't like people succeeding and whatever. And one of the best things you say is just like, post content.
Yeah.
That's a modern version of like the man in the arena.
Yeah.
It's like, you're not doing anything.
Yeah. Like, exactly.
Like you can criticize me if you're also,
exactly,
if you're a competitor, or you're a friendly rival, or you're in the same space, you can give me constructive feedback. But if you're not doing anything, if you're literally sitting at home, like, I remember chatting to Geddes, and I don't know what happened. I sent him a WhatsApp, and I was just kind of like, I love when people hate on you for, I think it was a podcast episode he did. I was just kind of like, let them go and do 2,000 episodes, and then you can listen to them.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It's like, this guy has been like working
for
like 10 plus years.
The amount of effort you put into
it's so hilarious.
I literally,
to be fair, I did have one yesterday. I don't bite back at the comments, but there was this one that's, I posted a video like 2-3 days ago. It was literally just me. Like, I make aesthetic content sometimes. There's like, it was like really misty.
I watched that one.
Yeah. Just like doing something random. Someone commented, like, my car wasn't even in the video, but someone commented saying, your car's a scrapper, obviously fake account, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
So I replied saying, your man's a scrapper. And he deleted the comment. And I was like, this is a fake account. I was laughing.
I've seen that happen. Like, where people, like, I have
they don't expect you to give it back, though. That's the thing.
Yeah. No, that's it. I used to get comments that was so weird. Like, but a lot of them were like just children. I could tell they were like 12. Really?
You get a lot of hate. I want to come back to that.
Yeah, yeah, 100%. No, I had to see at the start, I get comments of people saying exactly where I lived. He lives behind this sign on this road, this place. And I was like, that's so weird. Like, freaked me out. And then I got like phone calls from people who obviously used to have my number. and were like, oh, I love your videos, all this shit. And then I was like, this was really annoying me for a while. And then I just eventually was like,
you got doxxed.
But yeah, but I literally just I was like, right, I'm just gonna take actions to stop this. So I put a load of comment filters on, so like loads of comments are blocked. Didn't block them, and I'll still look at some comments and they're not nice, but I'm like, I don't care.
I didn't know you could do comment filters.
That's cool.
It's great.
I had to filter the words like lives here and from and all this sort of shit. Like,
interesting.
And then I also just, you'll find like anytime you go viral, that's when you'll get all the hate comments. But I don't know. I literally just, you build up a thick skin, and then you also, I just take measures to stop the nasty messages.
That's so, the thing. Yeah.
How does that affect you then versus now?
I used to like freak out. I used to, like, even when that video, people put my message into like, or my video into group chats that I was in from like when I used to go to tech and all this stuff. And they'd be like, what's this about? And everyone's like sitting there taking the piss. And then there's one guy, sort of like stood up, and then he started texting me and being like, oh, yo, how do you do that stuff? And I was like really anxious. Like, I literally, my heart would be flying. And like, even if it wasn't getting messages, I'm like, people are saying this. And then now I'm just like, if somebody asked me what I do, or, oh, you're still doing the TikTok? I'm like, yeah. And I would literally just, it doesn't, like, I don't really surround myself with anyone at all who's going to make me feel in a bad way about literally used to do that, but I don't care anymore.
I think as well, like, whenever you kind of like come out as a creator, there is a big kind of like, there's a shock and horror moment across anyone who's ever known you and went to school with and whatever. And then it, like, 6 months later, they're like, oh yeah, that's just what he does.
Yeah.
You know, there's people I know who, like, close friends, acquaintances, people that I don't really know, but they're in my network, who love the podcast. And there's people who don't care for it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But they know me as, oh yeah, he does the podcast, and that's just the way it is.
It's just a job.
It's all simmered down. Do you know what I mean?
It's just a job. You see somebody else, you know,
exactly. To be fair, I feel like with social media and the type of content that I create as well, obviously I have like basically two personas. The one guy is like an entrepreneur, educator, like wanting to help people do their own thing with content creation. The other one is just like, I have a fun lifestyle, shit's really chaotic, and I make cool things out of it. But there was this one thing, like, Red Bull sorted me out with electric picnic tickets, and I was down with my ex, and we were there, I think it was 2 months ago, and Gidi posted up a Instagram story of me and him. We went to an awards show night, and it was like, it was just me and him in the video, and it was just like, he was like, well, Jed, how you feeling? And I was like, looking good, feeling sweet, like just having a laugh, do you know what I mean? And he posted that Instagram story, and that one Instagram story, it was just like low quality Instagram story of us two, and it got like 150,000 views on his account. And I saw that whenever I was in electric picnic, and I was sitting there like in the tent, and I was like, I started feeling this thing of like, oh shit, like, that's like people, like, I haven't felt that in a while.
I understand, like,
that's who, like, people think I am.
That's who people think I am. Yeah, it's like, because that's what I'm learning now. It's like, I love about, like, my example, my Visual Jet Instagram, I've been posting content for 4 or 5 years.
Yeah.
So people have seen me on the come up. People have seen me, like, how hard I've worked. People have seen how much effort I put into my stuff. People have seen, like, my absolute lows, because I confide in social media. I'd be honest the whole time. People know how, where I come from, the depression I've experienced, like, and how I've kind of overcome that and stuff. Whereas, like, now with TikTok, say my jet.jpg account, so many new people are jumping into this specific chapter in my life where things are going really well, and they just see me at this certain kind of person, and it's like
he's just another one of those influencers, you know, and they'll use that as a derogatory term.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
No, literally, I was getting the same. I used to think about that all the time, where like I would spend like an hour a week making these videos, and then the other, that's the very first thing that like let me actually make them, because I was all nervous about it at the start, and I was like, wait, I'm gonna see people that I don't like for 5 minutes a day, and then the other 23 hours and 55 minutes I'm with myself, and I'm like, you're sacrificing all the stuff you want to do for that 5 minutes of not nice. I was like, fuck that. Like, I literally I used to get that all the time, where like people think I'm, all I talk about is money, and they're always coming, how is the business on? I'm like, I don't care. I don't know. Like, I literally just do so many different things, but I don't put them all on, because I'm like, I don't know. You have to have like offline and online things, you know?
Yeah.
This is a real boomer question. How does an Instagram story go viral?
An Instagram story? Oh.
Or was it a reel?
So we posted Instagram story, downloaded the Instagram story, and put it on TikTok.
Ah, right. That makes sense. Yeah.
Tell us about some of your DMs. What are the weirdest?
I'll literally play one for you right now. Like, some people will send me just voice notes, and it's the most ridiculous stuff ever. Don't worry, it's PG. But so someone texts me saying, where is it? I think they said like, you live in Giddy's shadow or something like that, right? And then so they just weird, they man. Sent then they sent these voice notes.
Oh sounds like an exorcism video.
I'm like, am I gonna die here?
Yeah.
No, I got a message the other day. We have a basic messaging script for people to message us and see if they're qualified to join our program. And then someone goes, yeah, I'm ready to join. Is this detail okay? And they send a photo. I clicked on the photo, which I rarely look at the messages.
No.
I usually have somebody doing that for me. And I looked, and it was an African-American gentleman naked with his...
Oh, I think I know who that is. I think I've seen this photo before.
I was just sitting there, and I just like...
I check a DM.
Literally, I was like, this is why I don't look at these.
To be fair, I've had DMs where people are like, you need shot.
Yeah, but
you need shot. Just get miserable.
It's insane.
It is.
It's funny. Like, it's not that it's funny. It's like, I know, again, you're putting yourself in the position of those people, the people that hide behind fake accounts that clearly don't feel confident in themselves and they're projecting their own inner insecurities. So yeah. I don't take anything from it. If people leave funny comments that are negative, fair enough. No. I like a little bit of comedy. I'll gag along with you.
100%.
I think it's hard because basically what you're talking about is like being a public figure. Ooh. And it's so strange because like a 13-year-old can become a public figure in 2 hours on TikTok. Download the app, post a video,
go make it viral.
Now you're a public figure.
Yeah.
Whereas like back in the day, the road to becoming a public figure was, I'm going to become a career politician and spend 20 years in trade, seeing how other people handle hate, handle criticism, how the media attacks people. And you kind of like come up and thicken your skin as you go. Whereas now you're like straight into it, totally unprepared.
Yeah.
And that's tough.
See how I like, I watched for years and years before I started doing anything. I watched other people grow. And then I was like, oh, once I do this, I'm going to know everything. And then I came in and like, all these followers straight away, money coming in, all this shit. And then your head, you're thinking, you're like high on life. You're like, oh my God, I've literally done my dream. And then comes the big crash where you're like, there's a reason I was like, now I'm more structured where I'm like, and you look at anyone else, you do a podcast, you have a structured life around it. That's your job. And you look at Joe Rogan, he's a life around his podcast. You look at anyone that does it big. You're like, these guys, I look at people now who are like 50 or 60 or have been doing this for 10, 20 years. And you're like, oh, so he's doing that for a reason. You know what I mean? Like, he's not just throwing his entire life into this.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's like comedians and public speakers. They have almost like a wind down routine.
Yeah.
It's like after a gig, this is what I do.
Yeah.
To kind of center myself.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
You were going to say something, Jed.
I was going to say, it's mad when you think about like just how accessible virality is. And it's whenever I'm 24, so it would have been whenever I posted on TikTok. Lockdown is insane, bro. When I first started posting on TikTok, I'm 24 now. When I first started posting on TikTok, I was 21.
Yeah, the last couple, it's just like you skipped a couple years of your life.
Whenever I initially blew up on TikTok, like I had a genuine identity crisis at 21. It brought me into a proper like whole of depression. And the worst thing about it was as well, like I remember whenever I blew up, all my friends just assumed, right, sweet, like he thinks he's famous or whatever, like whenever they never had a genuine conversation with me,
so
and they say no, all your friends disappear, and then people think that you're going to be getting like love from new people, but you don't, and you're just left alone.
The way you say it, like as soon as you blew up, after that, that's when I had it too. I was like, I don't know what to do in my life. I'm meant to be this guy that does this and this and that, but I'm like, I don't, what the fuck?
It was the most insane experience ever. Like,
it's literally like, so I don't know.
See, you cannot, getting tens of thousands of followers overnight, it's nuts.
You cannot be prepared for that. No, like, no matter how much we talk about it or anybody talks about it, you have to experience that pain.
Because we speak as if it's natural now. Like, we know what the formula is. We know how to prepare for and all this sort of stuff. But when it first happens,
I find it's a good way to, like, see, now I'm always trying to, like, meet people, but I sort of, like, a qualification process in my head of, like, you see, if it's somebody who's just coming up now, I'm like, give that person a couple of months or a year before I'm going to really work with them here, because I'm like, I know that they don't understand, like they haven't like accumulated enough scar tissue
understand. It's really maturity that you're talking about, isn't it?
Yeah. It's something you cannot talk to someone about. They have to just experience
it. Yeah, you can't
experience it. But once you've gone through it now, you're like, now you can do what you want.
But it's very interesting, right? We're all in our 20s. And like, again, I'm not actually in this conversation because I'm a different thing. It's different.
You've just matured.
Well, anyway, it's different. But you know, 50 years ago, to get the level of public attention and eyeballs, you know, you had to be like probably like Prime Minister of Northern Ireland.
Yeah, you had to be like 50 years old minimum.
Yeah, 100 years ago, you probably had to be like President of the United States.
Yeah,
That's ridiculous.
You know, like a bit before that, now again, history's skewing here, but like you had to be like Gandhi. Do you know what I mean? Like you had to be Nelson Mandela. You had to be like Mick Jagger.
Even the amount of information we consume daily, like someone 100 years ago would not have consumed that in like a year. Like literally the amount of information, messages.
It's even like, well, you obviously like on different accounts, stuff, I got millions of views, whatever. But like on my jet.jpg account, like last month, I only posted like 10 videos, but across those 10 videos in a hyper niche Northern Ireland market, it did like a million views, a million eyeballs in Northern Ireland. Like that's like, that's freaky. Yeah. Like
that's carnage.
It is. That's, I was always like, which I'd probably give you more credit, that I always didn't want to be, I'm not, I can't really, I'm not like an extrovert. I'm probably introverted, but I like making videos. So for me, it was like, right, well, I make videos, but I don't really want to make them related to here because I know I'm not going to handle that pressure very well.
Yeah.
Because like I've only been bumped into, people have met me that know me from, like that I don't, people that I don't know have seen me on the street twice or three times actually. One of them was a guy just came up to me in the Holy Lands. I was knocking at the door and he's really nice. He's like, oh, are you the guy from online? I was like, yeah. Started saying hello. It's grand. And then the second one, they're all good. The second one was like a bouncer in a nightclub there. He's like, where do I know you from? And I was like, I know where this conversation's going. I was
amazing.
Like, I don't know. Where are you from? Where are you? Online, the XYZ. You go through the whole thing. Then the last one was like a guy came up for a photo at a festival. And I was like, yeah, 100%. But I was like, see, the every single time, I was like, I don't like this.
But so this is a really interesting thing, right? In real, have you had any real life negative experiences?
Yeah.
Tell me about them.
About 2 months ago. The funny thing is now, actually, like, because this does not help my identity crisis. People not, like, there's two different people that, there's two different versions of Jet that people know.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, for example, I was in town, like, 3 weeks ago, whatever. It was, like, 11 p.m. at night on a Wednesday or something. Me and Gita were walking to McDonald's. With this group of guys stopped us, like, four or five people. And, two of them stopped for Gee, the other two stopped me for me. But then one of them from Jet.jpg, the one was like, yo, your work is class, like Visual Jet, like your stuff's amazing, what following your phrases, blah, blah, blah. Like these are people I never met.
Yeah,
and it's
yeah.
like, you've got these two different That's balances. But yeah, I was in one of them. I don't know the names of clubs here, but you know that place facing Alibi?
Yeah. I know is it Cathedral Court or something?
No. I can't remember what it's called.
You're anyway, talking to the wrong guy.
Yeah, I have no idea what it's called.
No Cathedral Court.
It's like, I haven't stayed up past 10 p.m. in about 3 years.
Yeah, I wish that was me. But yeah, I was in one of those bars anyway. I think it was Larry's maybe. But I was in there and then I was meeting friends, like my school friends basically. And I was in there and these are the same friends I had to have a conversation with earlier in January because they'd always like to they kind of like take the piss out of me and like, oh, Jed's my friend, not yours, blah, blah, blah. Like taking the, and it's like, you know, banter, but
yeah.
In my perspective, you also need to show love in order to give the banter, you know? So I had a hard, like a pretty tough conversation with Emmons. And then it's actually kind of proved that I was like still really good friends with him because that night, his group of like three, four guys just walked up to me, started pressing on me, like sticking their phones in my face, like trying to take the piss out of me and stuff. And then a couple of my friends saw, one's like 6'4", the other one's just huge
legends.
And they just walk it because I'm sitting there talking to my other friend's girlfriend and like just having a normal conversation. These people would turn up like trying to like start something, like one of them's like a smick, like just trying to start something for no reason. I don't know these people. I haven't done anything to them. I haven't done anything to anybody.
Yeah.
And the way I look at it is like, I know what scumbags look like. They run through my family. I'm not a scumbag.
Yeah, of course.
So if these random people walk up to you like sticking the phones in your face trying to like cause drama, and then my friends is like bumped in and there's like these two big fellas just like scooted them off. But then later on in the bathroom, it's at the point now where like I feel like I actually have to confront these people because it's like people are going to have this perception of me as an arse for whatever reason, just because I post social media content.
See like 5 seconds of what you're doing, and then it also like it's you have to, everything's exaggerated in social media, so you're putting out an exaggerated version of yourself, and they see this person, they're like, oh, there's that dickhead, you know what I mean? Like, and I think that too.
Yeah,
I feel like there's probably 1,000 people have seen me and never said in.
I was in the bathroom and there was one of them and I was talking, I was like, mate, what was that about? Why did you just walk up? Like, what? And you know what he said? He said to me something about like, why did your friends get on like that with us? And I was like, what do you mean? You literally walked up to me with your phone in my face trying to start something. He's like, no, I don't know what you're talking about, blah, blah, blah. And the other one came over the smick on and was like, who do you think you are? All this here sort of stuff. And I was like, mate, I'm not talking to you, fuck off. Like, I'm talking to your friend here because your friend's the only one that's somewhat rational.
Yeah.
So I was talking to him by the end of it. Like, they end up apologizing. Like, well, the smick one didn't. For whatever reason, he just wanted to start a fight. But they're the ones that end up apologizing. And I've had that experience multiple times over summer in clubs where it's like people will walk up, try to start stuff. Me and Gidi were in the I think it was the Dirty Onion or the Thirsty Goat, one of the two. And they, this group, it was the same situation, a group of like 5-6 guys, just think they're lads, having the crack, whatever, walking up, sticking their phones in our face. And obviously you get to the breaking point where it's like, stop doing that, because you, it's that's the other thing. Like, do you continue being a pushover, or do you stand your ground and say to people, no, don't do this? Like, so like, you know, push the phone out of the hands. Next thing you know, they're all starting on you, trying to like cause a fight. And it's like, you're the one that's coming up to us, invading our space. We didn't ask for this. Do you know what I mean? It's and then there's this guy really just kept coming back, trying to start a fight, and then security had to come and throw them out. And it, like, it's actually at the point now where security will, they'll look after us when we're out in those clubs, because this thing happens regularly. Like, even though
I know that immediately I was like, I wouldn't deal well in that situation. Like, I say if someone, I don't know, you can't remember. So there's one night I was in one of them Dirty Onion or something, and some guy, this was nothing to do with TikTok, and he just started like, he just came up behind me and started doing like this, oh, come on, mate, move over a bit, lads. And he's trying to get in behind me in the bar, and I was like, mate, no. I was like, just leave it, you'll get there in a minute. And then he kept like, he kept going, oh, mate. And then his wee wife started going, hey, mate, mate.
I just wanted, direct quote, his wee wife started going, yep, yep, yep.
I literally just went and got there, and he was like, what are you doing, mate? And then I was just like, I don't know. CrossFit's working for me. But I literally, what was I thinking about?
That's brutal though, because like, I would have said is, everyone will slabber online, but no one will come up to you. But actually,
you do get some head cases.
There is a 1% that will.
Drinks involved, like, it makes it
exactly. Yeah, it heightens it.
That's how I just know I couldn't deal with that.
But I'm just glad that I have put the time into my body, so I feel like I'm actually a stronger individual. So I won't be pushed around, and that sounds like so like probably like egotistical, but it's like, you have to look after yourself. Like,
you have to maintain boundaries.
And it's stupid because I don't want people like listening to this podcast thinking like I'm walking around thinking I'm famous, but this shit does happen.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, people will approach you trying to start fights for no reason. So yeah, it's an interesting experience, but that's only the 1% of it. Do you know what I mean? Like 99% of the time, it is great. You know, obviously you get the DMs and negative comments, whatever, but I'm still having fun. Like, I'm still getting to travel the world and do things with Class Brands, and it enables me to live the life that I do. You know, I've got clients like regularly create content for every month that doesn't take up a lot of my time, so I can just focus on building my own personal brand. Yeah. So there's a lot of amazing, beautiful things about it. It's just breaking out of the Northern Irish niche, because I've experienced it already with Visual Jet. That wasn't Northern Irish. I had a lot of love.
Yeah.
It was only whenever I started focusing my energy on jet.jpg, which is Northern Irish based, that's where all the negative attention sort of came in, because people don't like tall poppies here. So
do you plan to stay here? Does that make you want to leave?
No, it makes me more driven to keep posting here, because it's like,
I'm not saying like, I'm literally asking you what how does that affect you in like, because it used to make me being like, oh, I just want to travel, go away somewhere.
Mm.
Now I want to travel, but it's not for that reason, thankfully. Yeah. But it's like, it's just curious.
No, it, honestly, like the way I look at it now is like, I made a video the other week about like, since I'm now living in, I hate saying this, it sounds a week or so, but the top of the Oval, the view I have of Belfast, it's really changed my mentality of what the place can be.
I came up one day for like 5 minutes and I was like, immediately serotonin went up.
Yeah, it's insane, bro. It's insane.
The higher the lift took me, the higher my dopamine level rose.
Literally. Yeah. There's also a lot of negative things about that apartment, not like physically, but mentally. But the way I look at Belfast now is just like, there's a sea of opportunity here. The things that me and Gidi, for example, are doing in terms of like, me and him are just going all in on this now. We're just like, we're doing duo stuff. Like, we're going up to Derry, Londonderry for Sunday to Tuesday with like Tourism and I. We're doing a lot of paid work up there, and we're just going to be sending it as a duo, because there's no, it's kind of like, you know, like the Sidemen, like KSI's whole group, all their sort of stuff.
Absolutely.
There could be a verse of that here, and
I'm sort of like, yous are doing that. I'm sort of looking for someone now who's really like specifically into what I'm doing on YouTube, which is like, you know, like all that business stuff, but then also algorithm stuff, and it's really difficult to find. So it's the fact that you find someone that's actually
The exact same person, but
again, that's so difficult.
Touch on your actual question there, but like, does it make me want to leave that whole experience? It doesn't. It makes me more driven to change perceptions of Northern Ireland. Like the way I look at it is, I, for all the hate, I've had a lot of love and a lot of messages from people being like, oh, you've actually inspired me to get on social media, I want to do this, all that sort of stuff. That is where my purpose is. That's where like, God's given me this gift to inspire other people. So it'd be stupid of me to just leave and just become a nobody in in Manchester or something like that, try to build something up again. Whereas I feel like here, it can be very purposeful what I'm doing. And I feel like I've been on that mission for a couple of years now. So
I think it's really cool that you guys live together.
Yeah,
because I think it's one of the benefits of coming in here to Ormo Bath is you're surrounding yourself with other people who are at least somewhat
like-minded,
somewhat in the same trajectory,
yeah,
you know,
think outside the box.
They know what it's like to own something. Mm-hmm. They know the highs and lows of business.
You can have an intelligent conversation with people. I feel I don't mean that. I mean, you can have like a mature conversation about somebody that understands what you're doing.
But it's a sounding board as well, you know, because like I think about friends that I have. Actually, most of my friends are traditionally employed. And if I turn around and I start crying about tax returns and, you know, about finding the next gig, they're just like, what are you doing? Or, you know, who can you tell in your life about hate you receive online? Yeah. How do you deal with that? And, you know, it's so that's why I think it's so important for you guys to clump together like that. And 100%. Like you say, you have the opportunity to join forces and actually create something.
Yeah.
And I like the example of Sidemen because it's cool for all the different personalities to have their own channels.
Yeah.
And it's also cool for that to come together.
Yeah, we kind of
see. Which is why I'm excited about your podcast.
Yeah. I know, life got so mental there. But you gave me a lot of solid advice. And I very much appreciate it. Like, I think it all kind of looked out really good. The only shit thing, obviously, is again, you still get the trolls coming on. It's like the Spotify rating's like 2.5 stars. And it's like, that's another thing you have to deal with here. Like,
I didn't even know you could get Spotify
ratings. Spotify ratings.
It's quite new.
Yeah, Spotify's really cool.
Spotify is say goodbye to everybody else when it comes to audio. Mm. Genuinely.
See what I think.
Do you know what podcasts actually video on Spotify as well?
You mean it's mad?
And do you worry about that, about ratings or stuff like that?
No.
Because I think I've never, ever, ever listened to a podcast based on a recommendation from Spotify. Yeah. It's usually a clip on YouTube. Someone tells me about it.
I think it's more the only thing I'm worried about more is just when it comes to brand deals and it's the perception of the content that we're creating.
All the brands really care about is
the metrics.
They look at your stuff.
Because at the end of the day, those people, they're still coming to watch. They're still going to continue to come back and watch.
Thank you for the free engagement.
Yeah.
You know?
Literally.
Yeah, true. Spotify's class though. I kind of sussed it all out. I've got polls underneath the obviously when you're watching the podcast on Spotify, you can scroll down, there's polls, question boxes and stuff.
No way.
And we feed into it a wee bit as well. It's the first poll I put up was because the first episode of the podcast is, do Jed and Giddy ever miss? So we're just feeding into it. And I had a poll at the bottom. And it's do Jed and Giddy ever miss? So then I was 70% yes, 30% no. But I feel for us, it's just we're trying to break into something that is still so new here.
Yeah.
And I think over time, especially with the podcast, it will help not change people's perceptions of us, but just get people a deep understanding of us and know that we're we are very deep and not just
there is something to be said about the polarity as well. What I mean by that is one of the secret ingredients of virality is controversy.
Yeah.
So if you can actually divide people, I mean, how many examples have we seen of this online recently?
Yeah,
whether it's politics, whether it's people like Andrew Tate,
if
you're divisive, that's actually good for your exposure because it helps you kind of emerge from a very bland crowd. And what I would love to see is, you know, people show up, they're giving you the negative ratings, they're listening to every single episode to try to find material, and lo and behold, 20 episodes in, they're do you know what? He's actually all right. Or the way he talked about his depression there, I actually relate to that. And then, you know, their brain starts to explode and then maybe you've got a lifelong...
That's the scary thing. Yeah, what I was saying about just people landing into this chapter in my life now. It's I feel I'm here. I need to constantly reaffirm oh no, I'm this kid from Ardonagh, I come from nothing. I had a lot of mental health issues. I'm actually a very relatable person. But then it's you realize you can't please everyone. You can't keep repeating.
And you can try too hard.
Yeah.
You know, so I'll not name him, but there's a local comedian, one of the big guys, and he's constantly going out of his way to try to appear a nice guy because he's so afraid that people will think his online personality is who he actually is.
Yeah.
And I think at some point you just have to hold that a bit looser.
You know? I'm definitely doing that now. I have my content and stuff. So say for example, Video Jed, I'm quitting Instagram Reels now, just more value-based. But I'm just owning who I am now. I used to think in my head, don't swear, blah, 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 all this sort of stuff. And I'm just it's part of who I am. And I feel it will relate to exactly to the person that needs to hear it.
I think I had the most fun this year. You were talking about controversy. So Andrew Tate came out and I literally looked at it. I don't care about this guy. I was literally, I don't care because I know exactly what he's doing. I was coming from the marketing world. I was I know he's just being controversial for the sake of it. And then I was I looked at my channel on YouTube and YouTube will tell you who else your audience watches. It was all his channels. And I was
interesting.
One week I was just I'm just going to ball out, be a YouTuber here and just make loads and loads of videos. And literally made five videos in a week. They brought in loads of views. And I was oh my God, this it helped the business so much. And I was that was fun. But that's a wee bit of magic.
But based on
Ryan, the trend.
Yeah. I was I'm just going to talk about him for a week. And I would always say I would go on the other side of him because I knew all the comments were going to be his fanboy. So I was like, I'm just going to say it's shit. And you know, I actually looked at it and I didn't like it. So, you know, whatever it was. And I'd be honest about it, but I would always pick something that I can be honest about that's also negative.
Tate's really interesting to me. Like, I listened to, there was a 5-hour podcast somebody did with Tate.
You listened to all 5 hours?
I listened to all 5 hours.
I've listened, I've tried to do videos recently and like, I can't even listen to it anymore.
Because that's how I, like, I'm a podcast first person. So if I am trying to understand anything or anyone, that's the first place I go to.
Yeah.
And I was listening to it and I was like, this guy is like a Powerpuff Girl. And what I mean by that he's like different ingredients mixed together. Yeah. I feel like he's almost like a social experiment.
Yeah.
And I genuinely think he has a brother, doesn't he?
Yeah.
I feel like him and his brother and his media team sat down in a room with a whiteboard one day and was like, okay,
this is who you're gonna be. Yeah.
One pinch Jordan Peterson.
Yeah, they put a lot.
One
a lot
pinch
of
Donald Trump and one pinch Tyler Durden from Fight Club.
Yeah,
I think they were like, what do young men aspire to be? And they literally mixed it all together, and that's what he became.
I have an interesting story for you. So recently met someone for dinner that worked at, like, basically second in command at, like, I'm trying to say it without saying who, at, like, a big company that would work with a lot of the big kind of business influencers or business people on social media. And I was sort of asking him, I was going through a couple of names. I was like, what's this guy like? All he does is brag. And he's like, nah, man, he hates bragging. Like, literally hates it. But he's like, he has to do that because that's what works on social media. And the guy he works with does it the odd time, but hates it. I would do it, but I hate it too. It's just the most, you have to get attention. Attention and then deliver and whatever. Like, you want to do good for people, deliver it here, but get their attention first and then deliver. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but I think that's the long game that I think you are going to play.
Yeah.
And I think that you are playing.
Yeah.
Is you always are going to have attention to bring people in.
Yeah.
But I think you don't need to, you don't need to tell everybody, you don't need to qualify yourself, you know, from the Ardoin. Because there's going to be a subset of people that are going to come with you on a very long journey.
Yeah, true.
I've
experienced that now.
And those people are the people that you actually have positive influence over.
It's really cool as well, because there's a couple of people that I regularly see, that constantly were like replying to my stuff. Someone replied the other day being like, I can't remember what it was, like I made a video, saw my story or something, and she was like, oh, this chapter is so different to the outside in chapter. And it's like, it's weird to think someone's been following me for like 3-4 years, man. Just along in that journey, like an absolute stranger,
like you've never met. And like, they're, you know, you met them in public or something, maybe they probably walk past you in public and be like, there's that guy.
Yeah,
because I see people like, and I'm like, oh my god, I know so much about this guy, and he's just walking past me with headphones on.
Yeah,
but it's like you know back in the day everyone would watch Friends. Now you have become a Friends character that changes over seasons, and it's actually your real life, or a weird combination of real life with a persona.
Yes.
But people buy into that hero's journey, you know, and people grow with you as well. And that's why I think like Harry Potter's really interesting, because we grew with him.
Yeah, true.
Which is really weird.
I think, sorry to cut you off, like what is like been playing in my head was just like, right, people are going to see me as this like influencer type guy, but I know in the back of my head it's like I'm working with like 2 multi-billion pound investment funds to like educate their founders on organic video content for TikTok. I'm, you know, building that online academy and working with multiple clients to create regular content every month with all this other stuff going on. So I was like freaking out, like, oh, people are just going to think me as an influencer. But then I thought about it, and I thought about Logan Paul, for example. When he first started off, he was a splits guy on Vine, but now he has this like energy drink that's doing like hundreds of millions. Like,
I looked at that the other day. I watched one of his videos, and it's actually one of the best videos I ever watched. And I don't really know if I like him or not, because I've looked at how he seems very media trained, and like he acts a lot and stuff like that. But like, this video was unbelievable. It was like they took the 99 Polaroids of like the traveled around the world,
99 originals,
and then took like a Polaroid of these all these cool different things, and they made like probably a minute or two in the video each for each Polaroid, and it was like a 40-minute video, but it was like the most interesting shit. I was like, this is like what I want to do as well in life, but I'm like, I know what I'm doing right now. It doesn't directly correlate with that, but it's like at some point I think you're just doing something, you're getting really, really good at it, that is like so invaluable, and then like you'll money and contacts and all this sort of stuff will all just come at you. So I just try and focus now and just doing what I know I want to do. I don't know, just do it.
Okay, so let's shift gears. Two things I want to cover before wrapping up. I want to cover mental health, and I want to cover legacy. So let's do legacy first, actually. So we're all living in the short term now, as everyone is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, in your 20s, in theory, we all will have a long life.
Yeah.
You know, you're only actually, we are only actually in like the second season of our TV show.
Yeah.
You know, out of probably 8 seasons.
That's mad.
Yeah.
So if you're looking towards that season finale, what sort of stuff do you want to have?
I don't have the most. I'll go first because I don't have a very long or exciting answer. I just think, like, who do you know that lived in Belfast 400 years ago?
Good question.
I'm sort of like,
William of Orange.
I'm just like, we're going to be here. Say we're all here for 80 years. I just want to have as most fun in the 80 years rather than like worrying about all that stuff where it's, I don't know. Like, do you ever see your guy, what do you call it? Brenton Grace or something. He's like a comedian from down south. He's like, I've had my fun. That's all that matters. Like, I was his quote about his life. And then he, like, whenever he died, he just literally, like, everyone's like, yeah, he just had fun his whole life. I was like, this is all the time we'll have. Just do what you want. I don't really worry about that at all. I used to, but then I'm like, once somebody asked me that question, I was like, oh, I don't know anybody from 200 years ago. And you're like, oh.
Mm.
Love it.
It's all going to be okay.
I think the way I was going to give the same answer. I don't think I really care about legacy. I just care about right now. Like, it's probably very short-sighted to say, but I wouldn't say it's legacy, but if I can just prove and inspire my younger siblings, like, to just do whatever they want, live without limitation, have fun wherever they can, and like just enjoy what they're doing day to day, then that's all that really matters to me. I don't really think in the future, like, oh, I want to leave a legacy of, like, to be fair, there's a lot of ambitious stuff I want to do. Like, I do want to make millions so that I can pour back into the community. Say, for example, like, I would love to open up like a community center, say, like in Ardoyne, where it's like, it's free, where young teens can come in, because obviously there's a lot of antisocial activity. Like, there's nothing really to do on the weekend. So like, what you do is throw bricks at peeler jeeps. You know what I mean? Where if you could teach, you know, kids their value, their worth, like how to like make money online, for example, that sort of stuff. I'd love to do that. But I don't really think like long-term, like, oh, I don't, like, you know, on 80, 90, people thinking, oh, like, he's done so much for, I don't give a fuck.
I see the way you said that. I was like, this makes me sound so bad. Oh, sorry. Yeah, no, like, I would agree on that sort of stuff then. I don't really care about personal legacy, but it's like, if you can do stuff that helps other people, that's all I care about, you know?
Yeah. I feel like I'm a very purpose-driven individual. And I kind of shows as well, like, and whenever I do business, for example, I like started an e-com store last year, marketed through TikTok, it was doing well, but I really quickly realized, like, I'm not getting any value out of this. I'm not actually
really
helping or inspiring anybody. So I was like, why am I? I'm just like, it's just like a money hack. I don't give a shit about money. Obviously, I can use it as a tool, but I want to earn it in a way that I feel passionate about. Otherwise, it's just meaningless.
Okay, so you say purpose driven.
Mm.
What's your purpose?
My family. Like, I just really want to help them live a very easy and comfortable life. Like, it's been a very tough year. Like, my dad had a stroke in January. He's still in there. He's been in there since January. He's not allowed to leave because of COVID. That's putting a lot of pressure on my mom. She's having to like try to walk everywhere, and money's tight and all that sort of stuff. And it's like, my wee sister literally texted me yesterday. She's 14. She literally texted me saying, this is a 14-year-old asking me this. I'm really struggling to, Jared, it's my real name, obviously. I haven't had a lot of motivation lately. How do you stay motivated? And I just replied saying, need to work hard to give you the dream life. And she said, love that. Like, 14-year-old asked me that. Like, that's my legacy. Like, I want to make sure that they can just, that I can lead by example and just prove that there's no limitations. Like, you can do whatever you want. But yeah, that's pretty much it.
It's cool.
My purpose is probably, I don't know, like, this will lead well into the mental health stuff, but I think my purpose in the moment is just try and, like, I put a lot of pressure on myself over the last couple of years. See, when you built all that sort of social media stuff, that puts an immense amount of pressure. Like, everybody you know knows what you do, and now you're expect, like, I don't get to see what John does as a plumber. I don't see if he's doing well at his job, whereas they all get to see what I'm doing. So it puts pressure on me, where I've sort of stripped that away now and I don't care. But like, even growing up, like, I work in very hard, or like, grew up normal family, but they're all very hard working. So I'm like, I would always put pressure. I'm not doing enough videos. So then I think my purpose now is just enjoy life for a while. Just literally, like, why I've stressed for so long. I'm like, I just don't want to stress anymore. I don't know. So that's it for now. But obviously, in the future, you'd like to like create a nice life for everybody around you. Make sure everybody's doing all right. And stuff.
It's interesting. And again, like, you know, I look forward to asking us the same question when we're 30, when we're 40, when we're 50.
What's your purpose?
You know, it'll definitely change. I was thinking about it there. Like, I think, like, overall, like, if I think about like a life mantra, what I live by is be who you needed when you were younger.
Yeah.
So if I look at like, and I'm a big believer in the hero's journey.
That just explained me there. I was, it hit me there. Like, I just stopped for a second. I was like, whoa, that makes a lot of sense.
I think in some ways it's a wee bit like Simon Sinek's stuff where he talks about start with why. Really, if you look at people's whys, they're very, very similar, you know? But the thing is, it's often, and he actually says it should be tied up in the pain you experienced when you were younger. And so I think be who you needed when you were younger is like just the ultimate life advice to anybody. Mm. So it's like, what were the things that you experienced when you were younger? So for me, it was like suicide, depression, addiction. You know, I talk a lot about pornography because especially in those days, whenever I was open about pornography, nobody would talk about it.
Yeah.
You know, come from a family of divorce. Mm-hmm. And so actually most of my purpose is tied up in those things. It is
crazy.
It's like, let me empower the 13-year-old Matthews of today.
Yeah.
Or whenever I get older, it's going to be, you know, the 25-year-old Matthews who just had a baby and is trying to struggle or, you know, trying to figure all that sort of stuff out. So for me, it's a lot of mental health stuff. For me, it's a lot of family things. So like, you know, it sounds actually a little bit depressing because people don't usually define their life in terms of negatives, but like one of my absolute life goals is not to get divorced.
Yeah.
One of my absolute life goals is to be present for my kids.
Mm. Yeah. All these things make so much, like,
do you know what I mean? Like, those are the things that matter to me.
Yeah.
And like, it's interesting. Your life has to orientate around those priorities.
Yeah. Can I say something? Because I think, like, I'm thinking of people listening to this or watching it right now, because I know what it's like listening to podcasts, it's always easy to like judge what someone is about to say about what something that's very personal that they've spent years crafting in their own head. It's literally, if you feel like you're gonna judge somebody for anything like that, like anything related to what they want to do with their life or what they think about the world or what this or that, just, I don't know, just look at, you have to understand them, why that person has got to that decision, like what pain has caused them to make them want to make a good improvement in the world or something like that.
Yeah.
I just think of that because it was like, when I'm sitting there, I know I could listen back to a podcast and be like, oh, I said this and it probably sounded terrible, or I said this. I don't really feel like we have anything to be judged about. Absolutely. I don't know. It's weird.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the other thing, this is just popping into my head, like I think what I get out of podcasting is I really enjoy connecting with people. That's the first thing. But I really enjoy setting the table for other people to shine.
Yeah.
So there's a nice wee corny thing for you, right?
I understand.
But that's what I love most about doing interviews is I love the feeling of being understood. And I love the look on people's faces when they realize they're being understood or they're communicating something in a way, maybe for the first time, that they're like, this is actually what I mean to say. Yeah. So often in my life, I'm just speaking and it doesn't get to the core, but actually I just got it.
Yeah,
literally.
And then, so that's like, so I'm getting something in the moment.
Mm-hmm.
I like to think the guest gets something in the moment. And then there's the listener who ultimately is the most important.
Yeah.
And for me, it's just all about putting tools in people's hands. That's it. I literally just want to equip people.
Yeah.
To
literally say the change in the last year of my life started with you on a podcast. Literally, it's like you were saying stuff.
I actually remember him saying this as well.
No cap.
There's no cap in here.
Literally, because probably this is a good transition for the mental health stuff. So I was
nice. Like, maybe you're a master.
I know.
Take my job.
Maybe one day when you're retired.
That was really good. That's my soundboard.
More smile for the next 15 minutes.
Lads, we're about to talk about mental health. Jamie, can you play sad violin music that usually like features in World War II documentaries?
Like grey rain overlay as well, please.
Bruh, sound effect.
Bruh.
That was so good.
I mean, I'm a soundboard.
Yeah, after somebody says something bad, right? This is this is a good one. So I used to listen to comedy podcasts all the time. And the guy who hosted the podcast was like this really well-rounded comedian. And anytime the guest was telling a really sad story at the end, he would just tell a joke.
Is this Norm?
Or who's
this?
Yeah.
That's such a Norm thing to
do. Just like, why would we simply sad? You know, you can tell your sad story and then we'll just tell a joke to get us back to normal. Because then otherwise, just
sit there depressed.
Weird.
This is like, awkward.
Well, lovely lads. So, bro, sound effect can be used.
Bro.
No.
What would you do if I turn on you, by the way, and you turn on me, like, what's your life's purpose? And I look you dead in your eye and I'm like, I want to become the world's best beatboxer that's ever lived.
I would support that.
Yeah.
Well, I need to hang out with you guys more.
Oh, 100%. Well, you're telling me wanting to be a rapper, but clearly you're not putting in the action here.
I'm too shy. That's actually my real life.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's why I'm doing all this mic work.
Talk to yourself in the mirror.
Oh, I'm gonna try that. Thank you, bro.
Patrick, that's literally Patrick what Bateman. Got me here. I'm not gonna lie.
Nice.
Yeah.
Patrick. Are you an affirmation guy?
I definitely am. Interesting. I feel like I've manifested a lot of the stuff that I have because I've talked to myself in the mirror, and I just come through loneliness.
Yeah, oh, yeah. I've definitely had a lot of that too. So I'd say anybody who does like online, being an online content creator, you've literally spent 90% of your life in a room.
In a room. Person. Yeah.
Bruh.
I can't even hold the straight face. I can't even do it right because I was laughing too hard.
That'll be such a perfect like
clip. That's a great. That's a great clip. That
mate,
Jimmy.
Clip that Jimmy. Clip that YouTube Shorts. I want TikTok. I want it on Snapchat. Yeah. I want you to buy back the old Best of Belfast Instagram page and then actually sell it.
So a few people offered to buy it actually.
Where is it?
Where is it?
It's deleted. Deleted.
Oh, fair enough.
It's in. It's gone.
You can't get it.
It's in the abyss, mate. It's gone.
Flip me.
Sometimes you gotta let the past die. You know.
Yeah. Exactly. True. True.
All right, ready? Sorry, you were like expert transitioning there into mental health. Do it, bro.
I was about to start crying there. No, yeah, so last year you were doing a podcast with Colin Geddes and I was listening to it. That's what I was like, spent my time was literally sitting in my room, playing PlayStation and then going and working at the laptop. My entire life was in one room. And so it's sitting listening to these podcasts is your way to like basically socialize. Because like in my head, I was caught up with all this stuff. Like you have to work constantly just doing this and doing this. And then you were talking about like literally you were going through all the same stuff as me. Don't do it, bro.
No, I'm not doing it. I'm done.
Don't do it.
So you were talking about going through all the same stuff as me, and I was like, oh, this guy, he's from here. He's making content. It was like because you were from here, I could listen to a million Americans being like, yo, this is my life's purpose, all this. But because you're from here and you're talking, then you started talking about moving into Ormo Bath, do more stuff outside. And I literally was sitting, I'm the type of person who's like, someone tells me something like that, I'm like trying to make a list of what kayaking, canoeing. This is what I started thinking. Tennis. I was like,
I love
what
that.
Does he mean? Do you're, stuff outside.
You're such an active listener. That's incredible.
But that's why I was like, do stuff outside. What does he mean by that? And then I started trying to figure this. And now I realize it literally is anything. Go to the bar and meet people. Go do this, do that. But I took that really literally because I was like, right, I'm getting miserable sitting in this room here all the time.
Mm.
And then joined Ormo Bath and I was like, I'm it just is like immediately a massive effect. I was like, now I'm getting out every morning. I drive to work in the office. I meet people, I say hello, get in, do work. And it sort of gives you like a stepping stone to go to the next thing. So then I started at the gym. Then I started, you know, meeting friends again, going out and socializing, all of these sort of things. And yeah, it all started from a podcast.
Where are you at now mentally?
I'm literally the happiest I've ever been. Like I'm so,
that's unreal.
Which is weird. Like because
flashback to us in January.
Yeah, literally most of the year it wasn't been like that. But the last month or two, like it just feels like all my stresses have finally been alleviated, and I'm just balanced. Like still, you get crappy days, but now I'm like, now I understand every single person in the world has. If you want to enjoy yourself, it just can't be happy all the time. You can't be just, which is what you, if you're watching YouTube all the time and you're watching podcasts, here's 17 things you should be doing to be happy every day and all. It's like, but you need to feel the suffering. I had two or three days ago, I pulled my core muscle. I told you, and so all day I was in a bad mood and I was like, couldn't do anything. So shit. And then I was driving home, driving down to the country again. And I was like, I just put on Tom Jones and I was like, this is the celebration I got after a bad day. I was like, you know what, fuck it, just make it, just enjoy this week car drive. Because I've had a bad day. I'm like, I just think after every bad day, there's a good day, or after every bad period, there's a good one. So maybe I'm living in a good one now and I'm going
to
be.
As 50 Cent always says.
Mate, I swear to you, I was thinking in my head, what is that 50 Cent song? Yeah. And I had like the kind of slur, the way he kind of like.
Wouldn't feel so good if it wasn't for rain.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So good.
Happiness wouldn't feel so good, sweet, if it wasn't for pain.
It's so good,
something
man.
Like that, yeah.
Yeah.
That's mad you just thought that.
No, but genuinely, because I was, is that 21 questions or what is that? Because that's where I got stuck.
I think it is that.
I
was
like, what is it?
What is it? What is it? I'm not going to lie. The last 20 seconds, I was thinking.
It's one of his biggest ones.
Yes.
It's the. I can't remember
that. It's
like.
It's 21 questions.
Would you be able to see if you're the one I'm loving?
Yeah, 100%. So, yeah. Sorry. That's been I'm all good.
To circle this back then. So that. General Banter, Colin Geddes.
Yeah, mate, that was like a life-changing podcast.
But do you know what's so funny?
As simple as it was, like
that is the one thing that I've done in my life that's got the most hate.
Yeah, really? But there you go. Like, genuinely. You put out, this is, I have a video there on my YouTube that I filmed the other day that talks about basically how I was depressed and how I came out of it. And I haven't uploaded it, but it's sitting there and I'm like, I don't know whether to post this or not. I'm like, I really don't, because it's very personal. Talks about stuff that, like, basically the worst thing it says is, like, someone I know committed suicide. And so I'm talking about that in a video. I'm like, do I want to put this out? And like, part of me is like, do it. Like, it's going to be really valuable. And then part of me is like, nah, what if people see it? Or, you know what I mean?
Yeah. And again, like, I would say, think about it. Because there's two sides, you know? Like, there's, oh, this is classic. There's like a Hebrew proverb that says, don't throw your pearls among the swine. Man, I can't believe I didn't think about that. That's what this whole podcast should have been about. It should have been me giving some grander proverbs. Yeah. So it basically means, like, don't throw the precious parts of your life to people who don't value it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the way I'm sort of like, I know that most of the people watching it won't really care. But then I'm like, a couple of people like it, but I don't know. This is where
I think it's like, are you prepared to be to have those precious parts hated on? Mm. And then that is when you're ready. And if the answer is no, because there's things in my life, like, I'm unbelievably public, like, literally going public about porn addictions, like,
yeah,
it doesn't really get worse than that.
That's like, but, in your head, that's the worst possible thing.
But there are so many things that I don't share publicly.
Yeah. You know?
And that's why I'm, because those are things that are precious to me. Yeah, and they're things actually that it wouldn't be healthy for me to share.
You don't want to commoditize every part of your personality, because then you've got nothing left other than what's online.
Bruh.
Like, everybody has an opinion on you. You know what I mean? Like, everybody then will have an opinion.
I'm going to end on this. Actually, okay. This was my, as we were talking, it's like, I'm going to end on that point. Mental health hit me.
Yeah.
Mental health? What about? I don't know. I think, actually, you know what pops into my mind? There's like a wellness center that's opening up here in Belfast called Willow's Reach. Shout out Willow's Reach.
Unbelievable.
And I went down, did like a meditation session in the morning. It's actually really good.
Let me take
really
a note of that. What do they do? Or what's their
Willow's Reach? They do a lot of different stuff. You'll have to go on the website, because
Willow Reach. Okay, yeah, got it.
It's literally just down the street from the Oval as well, so it's really close by. But basically, the girl that's running it, she was saying that something along the lines of, like, people in Northern Ireland, it's not really mental health problems that they have. It's just that they're not self-aware enough. Like, they don't know why they feel the way they do. Well, I'm kind of like, that's kind of what I said, but it was along those lines anyway. It's like, that's why I realized, like, people here, it's not mental health that we're struggling with. It's just our inability to understand why we feel the way that we do.
A disconnect with reality in some ways.
Yeah, exactly.
I think people would be quick and probably rightly so to say that that's intergenerational trauma. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, if you think about during the Troubles and everything, it's like,
it always stems back to that as well.
People don't talk about that.
People don't talk, but also it's just, keep your head down, soldier, and keep going. Yeah. Even if you're a granny that works in a bakery, it's like, you can't feel the things you do. You can't share the things that you do.
Yeah.
Because if you share something, it makes our family vulnerable.
Yeah.
You said something earlier, people don't like the tallest poppy. Is that what the phrase you used?
Yeah, it's like that tall poppy syndrome.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's like, you can't stick your head above the parapet, because actually, we don't want our family to be on the map, because there's actual legitimate paramilitary threat on both sides.
Yeah.
That's I think it's all about, like, you understand there's negative and positive what you're going to do. You're going to putting that video, it might get me a very positive reaction and some negative stuff. So you just have to understand what you do and, like, how it's going to happen. Yeah. What's going to happen.
I actually kind of experienced that with, like, I made a video that was like surprising my family with this apartment sort of thing. Quarter of a million people seen it, and
love that, man.
My family was in it, and it was amazing. It was such a great video. My mom's so happy for me and all that sort of stuff. But there is, like, now, like, when you think about it, 250,000 people exposing that to your family, bringing them in it. Obviously, it's my decision to be putting myself out there, but then you're bringing other people into it. They're fine with it, but it's a weird thing. But it's also like, there is the benefit of it. Like, my wee sister, she's the cool girl because her brother's on TikTok.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? I think that there's cool.
Yeah. And again, like, it's everyone's call to make. Mm-hmm. So, like, not throwing your pearls to the swine. Like, for me, my daughter is, like, now I'm a dad, so I'm biased.
Yeah.
My daughter is incredibly cute.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now I know I'm biased, right? But there's cute kids, and then there's, like, viral cute kids.
Yeah.
And I'm like, bro, we could blow up with you. We could literally pay for your house, like, by the time you turn 5. And it, you know, it's too precious for me.
Yeah.
And so, again, it's no judgment to anybody who chooses to do that for their family. But for me, it's just like, that's not something that I think I could handle as
probably
a father.
Just risk tolerance, like,
yeah, it's risk tolerance, exactly. It's
like, everybody has different risk tolerance, and
and I'm incredibly risk adverse, you know, and so, and that's fine. I know that about myself, and so, you know, you take.
I'm probably am too, and then I go through wee periods where I'm like, I'm fucking.
Yeah, I'd be the same.
Have you ever read the book The E-Myth?
No.
Michael Gerber. It's about business owners, and he says like most people aren't entrepreneurs. They're just like employees who have an entrepreneurial seizure. That's what he calls it. And they're like, I'm quitting my job and I'm starting a plumbing business. Yeah. And then they're like, yeah, I'm an entrepreneur. And then they realize that actually they're just an employee to their own business.
I feel like
but I love that. It's like an entrepreneurial seizure. I get it all the time. Yeah. It's like, oh, I'm going to do this. And then it's kind of like, oh, no, I can't follow through.
every time I do a bit of traveling and I go away for a week, I'm like, I am literally going to become like the travel man. Did you have a point to finish? Or did we
cut you have a point to finish? I think, I think obviously a lot of my mental health journey, I think, has come down to me just learning and self-reflecting. And I think definitely like journaling, looking back on your past months, like at the end of every month, you know, I've got this good journal that asks me a lot of like specific questions. It helps me really think about why I felt the way that I do. And I think that if people, that's why like I place myself, and I learned this obviously through content creation and putting myself on social media, people are going to project their inner emotions. But I learned it more from my family, because obviously when I was growing up, I had a lot of negative experiences growing up with my family and stuff. So I had this moment like 2 years ago, or like a year and a half ago, where I was sitting in my room, had a panic attack. And then I kind of saw, like, it sounds so cheesy, but it was like almost like an angel in the corner that just gave me all my answers before I woke up again. Because I was like paralyzed from the attack. And whenever I came out of it, I was like, oh, that makes so much sense. My mom did this because X, my dad did this because X, and all that sort of stuff. And that allowed me, now I put place myself in other people's shoes. So that whenever things are like coming on top of me, I know that it's not because of something I'm doing, but it's because of what other people have went through. And that's okay. There's no right or wrong to that. So if you can be empathetic towards other people, then it's kind of like your bulletproof armor, you know, it's your bulletproof vest.
Yeah,
so
that's,
I think,
a good, like, that's massive.
That's a very good, like, being empathetic. It was like how to not get judged, just don't judge other people. You'll generally feel a lot better. Like,
I'm throwing a lot of scripture out here today, but like there's a Jesus thing, and it says like the measure you use will be the measure used against you. And that's literally just that's a Jewish rabbi version of what you just said.
Judge not, lest you be judged.
Yo, homeboy's got scripture.
Judge not.
Get this man on it here now. But
I think especially in Northern Ireland, because you're brought up in such a black and white, or like a green and orange culture, your brain is like really trained to think in that like two categories. And life is so gray. So gray. And I think part of growing up is just like wrestling with that grayness.
I think there's no better feeling than we'll never replicate the feeling of bursting out and actually doing what you want, you know, from like just getting out of that. It's literally like, that's what I built up for years in my head. I was like, I want to do this. I finally done it. Gave me a massive high. Obviously got low, but I'm glad it did, because it set you on the right path.
It's raised the floor for you.
Yeah, it's a bit shaky at the start, and it could be shaky going through it, but I'm like, I don't know. I'm in a good spot at the minute.
Absolutely, like, my hands are nearly visibly shaking right now because we're doing a live stream. What I mean by that is, it's like something new. I feel it coursing through my veins. You know, and it's like, because I haven't done something new with BOB for a while.
Yeah,
and you know, like I said, like him and Han, it's like, oh, but I want to do this. Want to get it perfect. Want it multicam. You know, the video intro, and I was just kind of like, no, do it.
Just to me, coming in, I'm just like, oh, he's doing live streaming, cool.
So like, that's you have it built up in your head, but it's like, oh, sweet, live streaming.
Yeah. Yeah,
I'm literally like, this is like, oh, nice.
That's good.
See us.
We audition.
Okay, final landing point then, right? I had a conversation with Morgan one day, and it was, I think the phrase I used was something like digital prostitution, okay? Now, I'm not talking about OnlyFans. I'm not talking about like adult industry. I'm talking about like sharing the precious parts of your life online and commodifying the personal struggles that you've had for monetary gain, for attention. How do you guys wrestle with that? Because I nearly forgot my prop. Morgan here is an incredible painter.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
So for anyone who's watching on the live stream, class painter. This is a beautiful gift that you give me, and
hang on a second, where's my painting?
Oh, yes, I got that like a year ago.
This is actually for you.
You got that for me.
I'll give a painting out to someone who listens to the podcast. Just drop a
I love that.
Does it include me? Because I've got some white space in my apartment.
Yeah, I'll get you on.
Drop an email. But we had a conversation. I'm gonna share. You know, you share your story.
I started doing these Bob Ross paintings when I was really like in the pits, like really low, and I was like, oh, I'll just start painting these.
Shout out Bob Ross.
Yeah, Bob Ross. It was like so cool.
Free Bob Ross.
I picked up something that was like, free Bob Ross, right? I picked up painting because it's something I did when I was like primary school. And I haven't done it in like 8 months. And I don't really care that I haven't done it in 8 months. But I was doing it then. And I was like, once I was doing it, I was getting really good at them. I was like really enjoying it. And then after I was like, I have to put this into a video. I have to start making a whole business around this and start selling fucking painting tutorials.
Do you not relate to that immensely?
Like you turn everything you
oh,
do.
Oh yes, yeah. I was lost there for a second. I thought we were going with that, but yeah, 100%.
Basically, I was like gonna turn something that I was just doing for fun. Like I've got back in like watching soccer and GAA and stuff, and so immediately my brain's like, how can I start becoming a podcaster in the GAA?
I'm surprised you haven't started doing CrossFit content.
Yeah,
no, you know what I mean. You're in the gym, you're doing the workout, and you're like, oh dude, I know this would be an excellent short. Yeah. Like
life feels so much better not doing that because I'm like, I have things that I do want to share and things that I don't. Yeah. And it's like, even if I do want to share something, I'm like, just don't do it and see what happens. You know, just like...
No, I know what you mean. Because it's kind of that's what's happened with my Jet.jpg account. My Jet.jpg account initially started off as me like, I take so many videos, but I can't put them out all the time. And it's like, I just want to share them somewhere. So it was just something that was just like, oh, just have a wee clip, fire it up. But then again, you start posting more content to get more views, you put more effort into it, higher quality. Next thing you know, doing brand deals, you're then working with businesses.
Yeah, yeah.
And then now it's like, it is being ran. It's going to be run as a business, especially over like Black Friday, Christmas, all that sort of stuff. Like now I'm actively reaching out to get people on board to work with. And like, just,
yeah, like that's why I had to really be conscious about like building a business. And I was like, I just want to build a business and then have creative as fun, like do creative stuff on the side, but it's like have a basis that keeps you alive. And then, you know,
for me that's randomly dancing in the apartment.
Nice.
Yeah. So take up breakdancing again. Next thing you know, I'm gonna be doing breakdance classes.
I know.
I'll be the host.
Live stream 24/7 rave live from the Oval. I knew a dad, right? Shout out to this dad who he was a big dancer back in the day, like loved going to clubs. And every Friday night now they have a family tradition. He's got three kids, they're all under the age of 10, and he just buys a massive box of glow sticks, turns off all the lights in the living room, and they just go to town for like half an hour.
That is great.
I'm like, that's epic. So yeah, I need to get you a pair of glow sticks.
Two glow sticks. Yeah, great party, you guys. Yeah, thank you so much.
Whoa. Was that a Matthew Squared moment?
That was good.
Guys, I enjoyed that.
Me too.
Yeah.
It was literally the most fun I've had all week.
I love that, mate.
Yeah.
Love it. It's the flow state.
Not a sad sign in my life.
Well, I would say that as well, but I did I did walk into Goldsmiths and tried to trade a pair of shoes for a watch, so that was fun.
Did you get escorted out?
No, actually,
any behind the scenes funny from that video, or was it all
caught? Well, I asked the police officer if she would take him, and she was like, oh, they're a bit big for me. And I went to the other guy as we're walking away, the man cop, and I was like, what about you, fine sir? And he was like, absolutely not. And I was like, sweet.
Oh, brother.
No worries.
Yeah.
Yeah. Unreal. Beautiful. Thanks for having us.
Okay, this is very appreciative. Absolutely fantastic.
Mate, I really enjoyed it. Where can people find you?
You?
So many places.
Literally.
Matthew Morgan on YouTube. Mm. Just type my name in.
visualjet.co.uk, visualjet.co.uk. Everything's there. Or jet.jpg on Instagram. Nice.
Plug the courses actually for both of you, because it is genuinely valuable for people listening.
Yeah. My one's called Six Figure Freelancer, which is obviously a bit like attention grabbing name. But
don't apologize.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
But that's the only thing that does cringe me out is that I have to do the
No, but you are a six figure freelancer. This is how to get to the process of what you've done.
We basically just take anyone who's actually interested in like, or who has already started like a freelance business, or they're trying to make money online. And it's not just a course. You get like a full community of literally like 150 other people at the moment who are all doing the exact same thing. You get coaching calls every week. You get a call from me and then a call from our head coach. There's like a refund policy. So if you pay the money, don't get results in the 3 months that we promise you, you'll get all your money back.
Dude, love it.
And then we just give you all the resources, all the templates, literally everything you need to just get started. So for me, it's just like, it's unbeatable offer. Like makes no sense.
I love it because literally like a 13-year-old in Zimbabwe could start earning six figures.
Yeah, it's mad.
Being like a copywriter.
Anybody.
Yeah. It's amazing. If someone's hungry enough.
Like someone came on the other night on one of the calls I was doing, and he was like, I hadn't seen him on the call before. I was like, oh, do you want to introduce yourself? And he's like, yeah, I'm an ex-military guy. He was like 50 years old or something.
Incredible.
Ex-military guy. And then the next one was like a data analyst from Dubai. And all this random stuff was like, how are you fighting me? Like, it's so weird. But
these are bona fide individuals.
Yeah, but that also gives me meaning too, because at the start of the year, I was like, I don't really know what to make videos about. I don't want to just make videos and the reaction is just comments. So whenever I created like a community, I was like, oh, like for a while I didn't really engage in it because it's like, oh, they've got the course, they've got everything they need. I was like, you know what, I'm just going to actually talk to them and enjoy talking to the customers. And then I found out like I absolutely love doing this. So yeah, sometimes just do random shit.
What's the power of having an amazing asset? Because now anytime you make a video about copywriting,
yeah,
you're directly feeding into something of value.
Exactly.
It's
yeah,
class.
Yeah, just like yeah, make something good.
I gotta figure that out. That's good.
Funnel. Yeah, mine's called the 916 Collective. Reason being, 916 is the
where'd you get that name?
Crucial. We had a wee lovely brainstorming session.
I came up with.
Is that a Morgan copyright original?
Oh, we're talking about it. We came up with it together.
I said 9. He said 16. It was a joint idea.
Anyway, yes. So the whole purpose of it.
You'll be $20,000 for that copyright.
This guy would be surprised in 2 years' time.
Gray Matter out of Breaking Bad. You know, Walter White, and then the guy was called Black. You ever see it? The guy was called Elliot Black or something, and then they called it Grey Matter. This
is why. Anyway, I want to go. I need to leave. But yeah, 916 Collective, basically, it's a monthly membership where it'll be updated every month with new modules all surrounding social media and content creation, how to become an expert in content creation, how to build a personal brand, and all the different ways that you can make money doing content creation. There'll be something more specific in terms of a course will be coming up later on in the year, which will be for user-generated content, how to do specifically what I do in terms of like booking $50,000 a year clients for content on TikTok. But this one's going to be more just like an open thing that anyone can jump into at any time. If they like it, great. They'll stay on it for a couple of months. If not, that's grand. But then every month again, same thing. The whole thing about it is just trying to break down the gatekeeping aspect that is involved in social media and content. People don't really want to say their tricks and all that sort of stuff, but this is all about building a great community, which is why it's called The Collective, of people that will be able to push each other on whenever they feel like they need it. So that's the main gist.
It's great. Good. See you in 10 years.
See you in 10
years. I'll chat to you when you're in the third season of your live show.
Absolutely.
Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank See you, bro. Thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening.
Thanks for having me.
Cheers.
Us.